Okay, so next, hopefully next Thursday, and we'll get you a copy at some point to give out. Again, we prefer everybody take it on time. There, you know, historically have been people who have not taken it on time, as shocking as that is. But, and, you know, here and there. I was just going to say that we prefer that the default, but thank you, exactly. So, no, with some years we do better than others. It's just better to take it on time. Number one, you should really do the chazar, because it really, as I say, the things that we've done are more than the sum of their parts. Like in all of Torah, you know, it's, as we say, Megillah, but also Chasuma. The greatness of Talmud Torah is the fact, are the ripples and the interconnections, and at the same time focusing on each, you know, individual Rambam and Ramban and Rashi and topic and so on. But, you know, doing both of these at the same time is very important. And the week of Chazar really is very helpful, I think, for that. There shouldn't be any year. Sometimes people say, oh, it's a lot of material. It isn't so many dapim, but it is, you know, topics and material. So just, you know, do the best you can and see it as a, don't see it as a burden, try not to see it as a burden, see it as an opportunity, really to put things together and just go, you know, topic after topic, do the best you can. It's better to do it on time because people with all good intention think that they'll have more time to do it and then they push it off and then, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't usually end well. And then I get like these things like 4 years later people send me things like, you know, we're very surprised that we never got a mark for the thing. The Reitz office wants marks. And then the guy says, but then I was thinking about it and I realized I didn't take the Bechina. The guy says, but still, I mean, I was surprised. So, but it's a good opportunity to do the Chazara, and you should do it with a sense of confidence and joy, hopefully, and just do the best you can. Now, there can be sometimes situations where people have, you know, they're getting married or, you know, their brother's getting married or something like that. You know, so then just try to see me we'll see what we can do. But default, try to take it on time because it's really just better to get it done with and do the chazara. And it's a good, you know, it's a good week to do that in. So
there are also benefits for taking that time in terms of...
Yeah, so we've built in, I think that was Ariel's idea a couple of years back, that we should provide a little bit, I guess because maybe held like Ellie, so so he suggested that we provide incentives for people to do it on time. So we'll have a little bit of an incentive. I have to look at the formula again, but that's what we've been doing, right?
You have more free questions.
You have more choice, I guess, if you... The purpose of the Bechina is really not to trick you. It's really just to provide a pleasurable chazara experience with a challenge as well. So just look at it that way. Do the best you can. Don't panic about it. Accentuate the positive, as we say. And again, the Bechina will be through what we've covered. The dapim wise, obviously based through Dalet Amud Aleph. Poresh Bilas Mitzvah, Bol Bilas Mitzvah Poresh, that's where we're up to sequentially, but also just remember that we've done, you know, chunks of Dav Zayin and Ches a little bit in terms of, Birchas Erusin, Birchas Nisuin, and Mitzvah's Kiddushin, and we did a chunk on Dav Tes, of course, and Sex Veka in conjunction with the Mishnah. And the Sugin Daf Yud, much of it, you know, in terms of Ksuva, and then of course the topic of Shirk. So all the things that we've done, I'm sure you can all figure it out. And then hopefully next month we'll try to move a little more quickly in the Dapim, because there's really a lot of every few lines and every page certainly there are amazing topics to cover. So we'll try to move a little more quickly, but we'll start with Chasson Avel. The main part of Chasson Avel, obviously, we're not getting to. So we'll start with that, and then do some a little bit quickly. We'll do some that and some of the Shabbos sugyas and Yontif a little bit. And then after that, we'll probably spend a little time more on Birchas Nisuin. We did Birchas Erusin and Erusin, and we did the Hagdara of Nisuin, which is interconnected with it, and we did Chabilos and all of that. But, you know, some of the individual brachos, either that, we'll do them either on Mondays, a little bit, maybe, you know, together with the with the Pirkei Avos, but mostly you definitely want to do them, you know, some of the meaty topics also that come up. We for sure will put them. We may just have to juggle a little bit, but Shavinash Chaticha di Surah and Dav Tes, A little more, not so much on Sveksveka, but at least on Ein Hochem B'mamon Akar Rov, and the issue of Ksuva, the relationship of Ksuva and Shtaros in general, and the status of Ksuva, things that we've touched on already, but we just want to, you know, speak about a little bit more. And, you know, we definitely want to get into the Ger Katan Sugya and the Afid Aleph. So there's a lot more to do. Next month, we'll, you know, since we don't have Hakdama, so we'll just move more quickly straight. But if anybody has troubles in the Bechina, so, you know, try to see me if you can. If you can't see me, try to see either Itamar or Rabbi. And also it gives me an opportunity to thank both Itamar and Rabbi for a magnificent job. Thank you. On, you know, coordinating, and also Chazar is here. Not to mention the catering, the upcoming, we're having an upcoming Monday, right? Monday. Yeah, so we're having also,
after,
you know,
after
Shikoli, yeah,
so
Monday.
It's all totally invented.
When it starts. We'll talk. Okay, so that's, you know, that should be, you know, going forward. I wish everybody Hatzlacha, but really that's the attitude is very important in these things. You should really just look at this in a positive way. My view is that if the REITs office wants Bechinas, that we should give them serious ones, and ones that really, you know, motivate a good chazara and a sense, hopefully, of accomplishment with the topics that we've done. And, you know, my experience is that people who take it seriously and put in the time are really rewarded for doing so. Hatzlacha. Anyways, before we go to the Bechina, we still want to talk about the topics in front of us. So we were discussing two issues, and there are really three issues, or three and a half issues, that I want to touch today in the Lidrashlehu the Onas Shari. The first one, the two that we've already touched on that I want to elaborate more fully, is a Bias Akum and Chita Sreveinu Tam, and some of the things that flow from that. In addition, we read the end of the Tosis, so we already touched on, and I want to elaborate a little more on that, but that's a massive, massive topic, namely the broader issue of Yehoreg Valyavor in the Gimel Averos and the relationship between Gimel Averos, Farhesya, and Shas HaShmad. That's topic number two, which we'll talk a little more about now, but obviously we won't be able to do full justice. Number three, overlapping with that, is the question of Shas HaShmad itself, and related to 3 and 4, the Gemara's interesting lines in the Gemara here about the relationship between Akiras Takana and Shas HaShmad and Sakana. There's some lines in the Gemara here that seem to take a very strong view that, you know, Takanos Drabanan, you practically have to, you know, suffer terrible, you know, from a spiritual point of view, spiritual reverses and losses, you know, just to maintain the system, which is very inspiring in terms of the protectiveness of the system and how precious it is, and also an awareness that once you start compromising, too much flexibility, you know, can really undermine, but at the same time really needs to be, you know, better understood, and, you know, to see whether or not really hold that way or not. So there are, those are the three, or, you know, somewhere between two and four issues that come up on the daf here, the Lidosh Lushon. So let's go back to, let's try achat achat as much as we can get in, to the first one, which is Bias Akum. We've done a little bit of the work on the first and the second, so let's continue with that. Okay. So what we've seen so far in Bias Akum is that, Rabbeinu Tam has this sheet. Again, it comes up in the sugya here, but Lidosh Lehu de Ones Shari, right? The Gemara says that, you know, we're worried about the Tznuos again, that they are, you know, that they're going to be put into physical jeopardy by this terrible takana of the hegemon. So why don't we just, you know, do an education job? Why don't we just publicize that Ones is Shari? That's what the Gemara says. And even then, the Gemara says something quite remarkable. That is, you know, what are you going to say about, you know, Eshes Kohen and what are you going to say, and so on? Okay. But either way, this idea of a Lidrash Lehu da Ones Shari is challenged by all the Rishonim based on the Sugya in Sanhedrin. Because one of the Gimel Averos, that's Yehoreg Valyavor, even B'tzina, never mind B'farhesya, and this seems to be both Farhesya Tzina. You might argue that here is Farhesya, it's Shas HaShmad, and it's Gili Arayos. But certainly Gili Arayos, even if it wasn't Farhesya, and wasn't Shas HaShmad, would require Yehoreg Valyavor. And therefore, we just don't understand how the Gemara can say, "Belidor shluhu the ones shari." That's the problem. A parallel problem that the Rishonim equate here is the problem of the Gemara in Sanhedrin itself, where the Gemara says about Esther, right? V'ha Esther farhesya haba. Right there too, the Rishonim are bothered. Why are they focusing the farhesya? Why not say v'ha Esther gili arayos haba? So there seems to be an opening in some of these Gemaras, and there are a few others as well, but these are the two main ones, where somehow there are cases of gili arayos which are not really yehoreg ve'al yavor. And the question is why and how, etc. So in our Tosis we have two answers. All right, one is bias akum kibias behema, Rabbeinu Tam, which we're going to analyze a little more fully now, which we began already. And the other one, of course, is the second one we talked about, and that is the factor of karka olam, which we hopefully will also expand our discussion of. In addition to that, as we already noted, there is the answer of the some of the Chachmei Provence, and that is that Hanas Atmo Shiny, the Meiri here, Balamor and the Raibid there, and then the question again, whether Hanas Atmo Shiny is, if for those who believe in it, in the Gimel Averos, is it limited to Gili Arayos? Does it apply also to Vodazara, both on a Hechetimtzi level and on a fundamental level? Will it even apply to Rotzeach, which, as I mentioned, is the view of the Ravi Avad, which the Ramban thinks is totally inconceivable? So those are the three answers that are given. Another answer that's given in the Rishonim here is that that there is, we're talking about a case where there simply is no choice. That's, had there been a choice, then in Achanami we'd say Yehorig Val Yavor, but we're talking about a situation that's one day I hear also the Shittim Kovetzes, where Lemaisa, there is going to be this situation, that there's going to be a forced Maisabia against the person's will. The person's not going to be able to stop no matter what. Okay, so we'll get back to that. So let's talk about Bias Akum. The first one is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that the answer is in all these cases that Bias Akum, and here we have different formulations. In our Tosis, it's Bias Akum, this could be Bias Behema. In the Rush, it might be important. Bias Akum, right, Lo Shma Bia. In the formulation in the Ritva, as we already discussed, Bias Akum is not Gili Arayos. Basically, Bias Akum is an exception to the requirement of Yehoreg V'al Yavor. And in our Tosis, that is linked with Akum Eino Chayes, right? And the Rivam challenges that. In our Tosis, it's also linked with Rabbeinu Tam Shita about the Boel, that if the Boel is Miskayer, that under those conditions, the Iser LeBoel will not apply to him. Because B.S. Akum could be asked behema at the time when there was this relationship, there wasn't such a din. And we'll discuss that as well. There are those who agree with Rabbeinu Tam's psak, but not Mitamei, the Rosh in his way, and possibly Rabbeinu Yechiel in his way. And there are those who simply think that the psak is absolutely incorrect, and we need to deal with that as well. Another factor in Rabbeinu Tam, which Eli brought to my attention, is the question whether or not it is linked to one other issue, in addition to Chayas and Baal and Boel, which we'll get to in a second, and that is the Isra of Eish HaSish Baratzo. That's what happens if an Eish HaSish is involved intentionally, right, with a non-Jew. Does that trigger a Chiv Misa or not? Is there a Chiv Misa? Is there a Chiv Malkus? Is it an Isra Daraisa? Is it only an Isra Drabana? Now again, I don't want to go into all the details of that because that's a topic in its own right. The Rishonim debate that here in Ksuvis. There's a lot of discussion about it. They debated in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Dalid. They debated in Yevamos. It's not at all clear what the status of Eish HaSish Shezinsa Im Akum is. There are those who think that there's a Chiyuv Misa, meaning that we treat it the same way that we treat the violation of Eish HaSish with a Yisrael. There are those who think that, you know, maybe the whole thing is only Durabana. And then they discuss whether or not there's a difference between a male Yisrael's involvement with a female non-Jew and the opposite case, the case here, where you have a female Yisrael involved you know, with a male non-Jew. And just as there is a nafka mina with regard to, you know, the status of the child, you know, is there also a nafka mina with regard to the violation in terms of Iser or Malkus or Misa, etc. Okay, so there is that debate. So here, there's that debate generally. In terms of this particular issue, so Ellie just brought to my attention that the language of Tosis, the printed Tosis here, Bim Tomar Amrinam Beperet Ben Sorer, and so on. Betutzar Minatam De'en Chayavin Misa Al Beilas Goy Drachmana Afke Afkere Lazari De Goy. So the question is, what does it mean when it says Ein Chayavin Misa? Does it mean Ein Chayavin Limsar Atzmo Lemisa? The question was about Mesiras Nefesh and the obligation of Yehari Gmayavar. So that's the question, and the answer is no. You don't have to give up your life. There's no chiyuv to die under these circumstances. And the raya is that Rachmana Afkare Lazari, which you've already discussed, right? Which means that according to Rabbi Tam, the Maisabia, the recognition of this is Maisabia, is what's Koveya with regard to Yichus, and the Rivam disagrees. And that's indeed the change of Girsan. I'm reading from the Oz V'Hadar ones, right? So he has Tzorech Lomar De'ena Muchiyavas Limsaris Atzma Lemisa Al Be'ilas Goy V'chein Hi Barosh B'Tosvosav U'Psakav, and so on. Okay, but if you don't change the Girsa, right, there's a way to read there's a way to read this in which Rabbeinu Tam, in addition to invoking Ein Lo Chayas, which is not obvious, right, is basically saying that there is a tlia between the issue of between the issue of Ratzon and the violation of Eishes Ish, as opposed to the case of Mesiras Nefesh. And of course, we can totally understand that, you know, we'll explain this more in just a second, that just as there may be other distinctions, it's not so obvious that all these are one. And even for Rabbeinu Tam, the question is, are they all one? Meaning, the chiyuv of Mesiras Nefesh, the violation Beratzon of Eishes Ish, the question of Yichus, and the Isser of Labal and the Isser of Laboel. Those are five different issues which we're testing in Bias Akum. Okay, if you want to add a sixth, so we would add what, Chaim? If we wanted to add a sixth one to look at on the list, what's the sixth one that we would add? Shlomo? Right? The Baal, the Boel, the Eishasish, the Mesiras Nefesh, the Chiyus. Shua? Mekanin. Right? What about Kinui Ustira? Right? Is Mekanin Al Yidei Akum? Right? That's the question that the Rosh here, and Tosis in Yuma and Sanhedrin, when they want to oppose Rabbeinu Tam, our Tosis here does not ask that question, interestingly enough, but others do. Right? That's a slightly, what am I up to? That's number six. Right. That's, is there Kinui Ustira when you warn, you know, her, right, not to be misyached with an akko. Okay, so that's number six. There might be other things. There might be other things too. Anybody have any others to look at? Any others? What? That's interesting. Kanoim Pogimbo. Kanoim Pogimbo is actually brought in by the Rishonim in Sanhedrin a lot, right? What does that imply? What did Kanoim Pogimbo reflect about, you know, the Iser Eishes Ish and in general? Okay, I mean, the truth is that the Eishes Ish is one issue. The question outside of Eishes Ish, that's kind of what Hanan's saying, right? The question in general, whether there's an Iser, which is part of the story of Kanoim Pogimbo, is a question. What about the Hagdara of Be'ula? Right? Okay. On the surface, again, when we get to Tzuga Daf Yud, we'll talk more about it. What about the Hagdara of Zona? Right? For Kahuna? Right? We know that Niveles Lagai is a Hagdara of Zona for Kahuna. So there are some things which are clear. There are some things which are controversial, but the list is helpful because if we're going to, you know, be taking Rabbeinu Tam literally, that bias akum lo shma bias akum kibias behema, right? Part of the problem that Rishonim had with Rabbeinu Tam was that they took it literally, right? Which is absolutely legitimate, right? So they said, well, let's plug in bias behema, right? And it doesn't work so much, especially if you think Rabbeinu Tam's mechalik between Labal and Lavoel, it doesn't work so much, right? So you might say, oh well, Be'ula or Zona, maybe that depends just, you know, on the physical issue. Or maybe Zona, it's not so much the Hagdara of Maisabiya as much as it is the involvement with the Goy per se, the relationship. Maybe it isn't the physical Maisabiya. It's Bias Akum, it's Kibias Behema. But no one will deny that you have, the whole point of B is that she's a Zona. Maybe she was involved with somebody who's Mufka from not only Ishos, but Mufka from Ishos with a certain, you know, stigma and connotation, you know, which apostles her, which disqualifies her from kahuna. Right. So it isn't necessarily because of the maisabia. I mean, it has to express itself in maisabia, because that's how we define the intensity of that particular relationship. If it's, you know, too casual, meaning you know, they went to Starbucks together. That's Starbucks, Seattle. Yeah. So you know, that itself is not, you know, is not a relationship. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, what we need to do is look at the broad spectrum of issues, and in some cases it's going to be. Firstly, there are some things that are muskam legamri, and there are other things, you know, that are debated. There are some things which we're going to realize right away that even though they seem to be the same, are quite different. And other things, it's going to be much more subtle. So, for example, right here, this issue becomes quite interesting, as we'll explain. Let me just develop it just a little bit more. So when Ellie brought this to my attention, I was a little bit dismissive of the Tosis. I thought you have to read it based on the question, the way that you know, the Girsa people were doing it. Then I looked again in my Shita Mekubetzes, and then I realized that, no, of course, he's absolutely right. So the first, here again, I'm giving my page numbers, but page 29, column 1, in the old Shita Mekubetzes is, so Hikshiba Tosis, Hechamrin de Nidrash Lehu, Delom Limsur Le Katala, Halo Begili Arayos, Ika Yaharik Valyavor. Same question. But the answer here is much more explicit, right? The Tiritz, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ein Chayavin Misa al Be'ilas Oved Kochavin. Kidisa Beperik Nosin al Anusa. Pirish, Eishes Ish, Hanivelis, Oved Kochavin, Mafila Beratzon, Ein Chayavis Misa. Me'ata Afhi, Ein Mechuyeves, Limsar, Atzmalamisa al Yedei, I'm sorry, al Bias Akum. So that is explicit. Again, I'm not sure in our printed Tosis what it really means. One way or another, but doesn't matter anymore. I mean, this version of Rabbeinu Tam, it's fascinating to me, also possibly drops the Rachmana Afkare Lazare in Lo Yichos, right? Instead, I'm not saying, I don't know for sure that they dropped it, but it's interesting, it's not here in this little piece. And that's, could you conceive of Rabbeinu Tam, you know, without the Yichos part, or agreeing to the Rivam about the Yichos? You could. Just like you could conceive that he might think that Esha Sish and Chiv Misa Baratzon has nothing to do with this either. Right? But this version focuses on the Esha Sish, Chiv Misa Baratzon part, rather than the other. Then what's interesting is then the next piece, he says, this is the Shidim Gubetzos, Varosh Kosav, Tir Tzabeni Tam, Denim Chiyavis Limsar Atzma Lemisa, Drachmana Afkare Vechule, the Efshar, the Hainu Perush, Maida Kosav, the Tosas Dein Chayavin Misa. Niu Haloshon, meaning saying, oh, maybe light of the rush, which is what the Girsa people are saying, we should say that it doesn't mean that. But it says, no, it sounds like it does mean that. And then somebody mentioned the other day also that the, you know, the Meiri speaks about this. Again, this is in other more mainstream Rishonim too, that the Rishonim will say, oh, Eishes Reyehu, right, below, like, you know, or Reyehu, below Akum, in terms of the Chi of Misa. Okay. So there is a big debate, and even here in the Shidmi Kubetzes, on our daf, there are all sorts of, the next piece, so he quotes the Meiri, he quotes the Yeshus Reyo part, sorry, here again on 29, column 1, and some other Rishonim as well. I mean, what really is the din, in Beratzon, in other words, in the Chiyuv, that he would have in the case of Akko? What about Malkus? What about Yisud Araisa? Is it only Yisud Rabbanon? What about Kanoim Pogin? Exactly. What does Kanoim Pogin reflect? All of these issues. Okay. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I just want to get back to the bigger point, and that is as follows. If we were to take the view, the same kind of question that we're asking about distinguishing, you know, between Labal and Laboel can be asked about Eishes Ish Beratzon, Mesiras Nefesh, Labal, and Laboel. Or the same kind of comment I just made. Everybody agrees that when it comes to Znus, right, and Psul Kuna, you know, that's one of the classics. That's one of the ones that is least controversial. In other words, Niveles Legoy. Right? But he goes, but it's Niveles Lebehema, right? But no. So I said before, well, maybe not. Maybe the whole point is that's part of the, it's Dafka, the relationship with a non-Jew, and what that implies, right, that is an affront and a disqualifying factor in kahuna. Except that it has to be an intense relationship, and that's expressed through the physical act of bia. Or the status of being a ba'ula, you might say, well, that's just physical completely. Right? I mean, that might be true even for mukas eitz. Right? But even if it isn't for mukas eitz, if it's done, you know, on the basis of a physical action, even if legally, formally, we don't call it, bias adam, linyan zeh, but linyan the physical, or chef, as a chefta, we were seeing we were making before, maybe it's a chefta shel bia, she's a niveles, just maybe it's not a maisa bia, or if you ask the question, who's the boel, there's an issue. Okay. So basically, getting back to the main point, there are two versions of Rabbeinu Tam, as we know, regarding the Isur Labal, even if there is a heter leboel. Right? As we discussed, in some cases it's unclear. There are some people who are mistopic. Most people seem to be assuming, because of the overwhelming evidence, and also because of the linguistic focus of Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam concedes about Labal, and really his Chiddush is limited to Leboah. And the Meiri and a few others disagree, and they think that it applies to Labal as well. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a second. So what is this distinction between Baal and Boel? So what I was trying to say the other day is that you could say it in different ways, whether you want to distinguish between Chefza Shel Niveles and Maisa Bia, or Chefza Shel Maisa Bia, and the Maisa, or you just want to say, where we care about the Gavra Boel, or even what I was saying further than that, and that is, where you have to give a name to the Boel, and we care about who he is and what his stature is, so then Akum is off the radar screen and doesn't qualify. But if the point is anybody but the husband, right, or the fact that she was a niveles outside of the marriage, or that there was a maisabia, irrespective of the boel, and whichever, it doesn't matter to me where you want to draw the line in all of this, although it matters. And it also matters because we can make other distinctions depending on where the line is. But basically, that's the idea. Doesn't mean that it's bias behema mamish. She means le'inyan, the boel. The Rabbeinu Tam seems to assume that the yichus of the boel is a prerequisite, right, to the iser boel. But not necessarily, according to this perspective, to the iser baal. It's the betrayal, it's the outside of marriage, or he's a faceless, nameless rival. He's the not husband, basically, with the hyphen. Okay, because as a not husband, we don't care what his religious background is. So the truth is that one could say something similar, or this is the question, about Eishes Ish. To what extent, in other words, is Eishes Ish connected to the Boel problem, the Mesiras Nefesh problem, right, or even to the Baal problem? That could be part of the discussion here. But even if I say, what am I going to say about the Chi of Misa Beratzon, right, vis-a-vis the Iser Labal the Isa Leboel, etc. What do you need for Chiv Misa and Eishes Ish? Do you care about the partner at all? And the fact that both of them, let's say, are Chayiv? But if he's a Yisrael, and he's involved with an Eishes Ish, it's not only the Eishes Ish, it's the Yisrael also is Chayiv Misa. Does that prove that, you know, the partner is part of the problem? Or no, if there's a partner, he's part of the problem. We don't need a partner, an acknowledged, recognized, halachically recognized partner for the Chiyuv Eishes Ish, necessarily. Right? It's, part of this discussion, by the way, is the discussion of, you know, what happens, let's say, you know, in Eishes Kohen, whether it can be Mechalek in you know, in situations where the Onshim are different. That's an issue that comes up. Right? What happens when the husband and when the Boel and the Eishes Ish have different Onshim? Is that important or not? Does that reflect anything? Now, when you have a violation of Eishes Ish, to what extent are we dealing with one violation, a shared violation, or are there two different dinim, two different files, maybe even two different mechayvim? So the onish discrepancy is one issue. Right? Even the question, this comes up later in the Sugya and Daf Tes, in Shavi Nafshe a little bit, Chaticha de Isura, in conjunction with the Sugya, where also, Isaac? No? A different Masechta? It's a fastball, right across the plate. No? In the Darim, Daf Tzadi. What's the sugya in the Darim Daf Tzadi? Exactly. So the whole point there is what? Shavinav Shchaticha di Yisura Sugya. So then there's a discussion of the Rishonim.
The Ram.
What?
The Ram throws him off Kinehu. The Ram throws him off Kinehu.
Yeah. And the whole discussion there, right? Who's Osir to who? Let's say in the Isur Labal, right? Is it his Isur? Is it her Isur? Right? When there's a violation? What I'm saying is, when it, you know, it takes two to accomplish the Isur of Eishes Ish. Or does it? Physically, it takes two. What I'm saying is this one file or two files? And there are several issues that come up that highlight it. So the point is, when evaluating Rabbeinu Tam and the relevance of Mesiras Nefesh, Baal, Boel, Yichus, and the Ratzon of Eishes Ish, where are we going to draw the line? Are we going to say that, you know, what I'm trying to say is, the more halachos depend on chefza shel niveles, or chefza shel bia, let's say. Right? Or, a faceless boel, the easier it is to ignore the idea of bias akum ki bias behem. Bias akum ki bias behem means where you need a boel, and a maisabia, and a gavra. But whether or not the ratzon of Eishes Ish is the same as the Iser Lebal, or it should be more like the boel, right? That yichus depends on the boel, and not just on the fact that she's chefza shel niveles, or that there was an anonymous boel, is obvious. That inlecha, right, Tolu Yoser al Zehus Habal mi Yichus Habal mi Yichus Hazera. That's the whole point, right? Rachman Amar Machrona Afkare Lazare. What are we saying? We're saying she is pregnant. She's giving birth. There's no husband. There's no father. What do you mean? There's no father. Child's a child. That's the whole point. We don't recognize him. He's off the radar scale in terms of recognition, right, in this context. But that's not necessarily true for the Baal, and what's the status of the Boel? So now I'm just raising the question, and I'm just pointing out that there are some issues parallel to it. What about Eishes Ish Baratzon? Does it belong to Chayis and Boel for Rabbeinu Tam? Or does it belong, remember, in Chayis, even the Ri will agree. Everybody will agree. That's a Gemara. They'll just say, nothing to do with there not being a Maisabia. Maybe it has nothing to do with not being a Boel either, just he's not a Boel Amiyuchas. Fine. Reb Tam thinks, no. If there's a bol amiyuchas, then there should be yichas. There's no bol amiyuchas here. Maybe there's no maisa bia. Maybe she's a novellas, and maybe there's a chetza shall be. Okay. So that's the point I just wanted to make. So in the end of the day, this question here, whether or not, you know, to prove Mesiris Nefesh, we're quoting Eishes Ish, especially this other verse. Oh, Eishes Ish is a great way to prove it. Maybe we should drop the yichas part. No, not necessarily. Maybe Eishes Ish is not a good way to prove it in either direction. But again, the more we think that Eishes Ish and the Chi of Misa, even in Eishes Ish, is about Begida, it's not about who you cheated with, but who you cheated on, or the fact that you cheated, or the fact that you're a novellas, not with your husband, then it is a good parallel, mostly to Issa Labah. Okay, so that is just an approach to all of these six or seven, you know, kind of an issues on the possibility of being mechalek between them under all of this. Okay, now that's if we assume also that there is the majority view, which is that Rebbeinu Tam's mechalek between the Baal and the Boa. Fine. So we're just asking, what about all this other stuff? What if Rebbeinu Tam does not distinguish between Baal and Boel? So then his shita is much more obviously consistent, right? But we have a lot of Gemaras to deal with. Number one. Still, what are you going to say about the Eishes Ish? Can you assume that if there's an Isser, if there's no Isser Labal, that there's no violation of Eishes Ish for Rebbeinu Tam? Right? Still, you might be Mechalik, which you might say is Rebbeinu Tam thinks that the Isser Labal and the Boel are Hoba Hatalia, and maybe the Isser Labal also depends on Maisabiyah. But maybe the Chi of Misa, you know, Beratzon, as opposed, you know, that's a different story. Maybe that's really just Bia Nivellas. What I'm saying is you can be Mechalik in either direction. What do you do with the Gemaras if you say that Rebbeinu Tam is really Isra Labalu Laboa? So what do you do with the Gemaras? Adam, what do you do with the Gemaras?
You could say that specific cases like the Gemara
Chafav
is by only
Kohanim. Exactly. So the Arishonim, first of all, we just know who made the good try, right, to try to solve those Gemaras. Right, again, if you look here in Shita Mekubetzes, just on the page, right, you have the effort. Either we're talking about Kohanim, or we're talking about, you know, finicky sensibilities. I don't really mean finicky, but meaning kind of your more lifnim mishuras adin or sensibilities. What do I mean by finicky or lifnim mishuras adin sensibilities? What am I saying? Aminadav? Meaning what? What does that mean?
Says that Kasher Avati Avati, it doesn't mean that Mordechai was usurger, but it's that he wouldn't want her anymore.
Exactly. Mordechai said, listen, I can't look at you anymore. You know, I just can't do it. Sorry. You're my niece. I'll invite you to Hanukkah parties, but, you know, too much has happened. You know, I just, you know, any chafetz. Right? So that is, so there are all sorts of, you know, these are the kind of explanations that are given. Some of the formulations are quite interesting too. You're saying what? He shouldn't invite her to the Hanukkah party because he's a Purim person? That's what bothers you, Isaac, yeah? And so you don't like the you know, the irvuv of Purim and Hanukkah. I hear that. Okay. But one thing that's really hard to get out of, let's say they get out of all these problems, and they try. But one thing that's really hard to get out of is? Shlomo? What's hard to get out of? Really hard to get out of. So maybe not. Avi?
Maybe you're not hiding this case at all.
Say again?
No
Issa Labal, no Issa Laboel. That's good. So but you have all these Gemaras, so okay. They're all Kohen, they're all what do you call it? Okay, fine. Well, the coin part isn't quite coin. First of all, why coin should be different if this B.S. Akum could be a Behema is also a question, right? Right? What does that imply? It also implies that the Easter of Kahuna, I should just mention that, isn't just a difference between Onus and Ratzon, but that Onus and Ratzon also signifies something more qualitative. Right? Namely, that in the case of Kahuna, we have to say so something similar to what we're saying. It's Niveles, you know, outside of the marriage, whereas even the Issa Labal is a Dinim Maisabia or Gavra Boel. Okay, I should just mention that point. Now, the Mepharshim who say this, what do they say it? Uberatzon Afal Gav, the Ein Nasara Salbalem, Kamakom Isur Mia Ika, Kachish Lidcho, Savalein Ika Perishkin. The Perikishish Nasar Mala, Gabishish Nechbashab Ben Ova Kacham, this is 29, column 2 in mine. The Beratzon Asur Labaila, Hanami Eshlidchos, the Balakoin Mari Hassam. How does that help you? Right? You have to assume that the difference between Onus and Ratzon, right, is a quality, is not just the circumstances of the Maisabia, but also whether or not you need a Maisabia or what kind of Maisabia. That's very important. Then he says, Miu b'megillah amrina behedya kasher avadati avadati kasher avadati mibes abba avadati mimech. Shema kamra Mordechai lo yachbots bo afagav de midina shari the havale peguma right bebilas of a kachavim. Okay. The problem is, what remains? Gabe? Oh, Mekanin. Mekanin is a straight out Gemara in Sanhedrin. I'm sorry, in Sota, Daf Chavav, where the Gemara says that Mekanin lo v'kachavim. And then the Gemara even adds a Havamina. That what? Yair. What's the Havamina? We've talked about already. That the Rush quotes. Then maybe Ein Mekanin lo v'kachavim, since he's Mufka, he's not on the radar screen. Right? And the Gemara says, no, wrong. L'maskana, Mekanin lo v'kachavim. Okay, so there, you know, that's not Kasher Avadati Avadati. That's not Mordechai being, you know, finicky or Lechatchila. It's not Eshes Kohen. So what do you do with Mekanin? Right? It's just actually that's one question. Well, let me ask the question in the reverse way, right? How come some of the Baal, this is already, you know, a more, you know, methodologically suspect question, but how come some of the Baalei Tosfos ask the Mekanin question and others don't ask the Mekanin question? Right? It's basically two sides of the same coin. I'm saying if you can solve every other problem but Mekanin, so what are you going to do with Mekanin? And the other one I'm saying is kind of the opposite parallel, which is how come some people don't ask for Mekanin? They obviously think that there's a solution to Mekanin. Right. But those point in the same direction. Mekanin, right, might be different. Why is Mekanin going to be different? Avram? Oh, excellent. What's the Beis HaLevi? And earlier the Mishnah Lamelech, right? What? Oh, okay, but the Beis HaLevi quotes the Mishnah Lamelech too. He gives him part credit. What's the Beis HaLevi in the Mishnah Lamelech? Because it's about Kepeh de Debal. How do you know it? What's the best Raya? And yet there seems to be Kinui. That's one example. What the Beis HaLevi pointed out, but the Mishnah Lamelech pointed out earlier, was that the institution of Kinui Ustira is a fascinating institution. And its relationship to classic Iser Sota, right, needs to be investigated. In what sense? And as one would have thought, and this is certainly true for many, that what Kinui Ustira is simply Raglayim L'Davar. Raglayim L'Davar that what? That there was a betrayal of Eish HaSish. In which case, the institution of Kinui Ustira and the class, the two types of sota that we speak about, one, the result of Kinui Ustira, right, and the other, you know, whether it's Edei Tumah, you know, where we really know that there was a violation of Eish HaSish, they're really the same. If anything, Kinui Ustira is just a shortcut, you know, and it's based on an umdana, to project that the Maisa Begida, the Maisa Bia, the Isser HSH took place. That's really the way that many understand, and that's a simple pshat of Kinyus Tirum. The problem is that there are numerous Gemaras, at least on the Havamina level, if not Maskanas, which makes it obviously more, which seem to imply that Kinyus Tirum, instead of being a Chumrah, in other words, instead of being, let's say, a shortcut to the presumption of the violation of Eish HaSish shall be a Sisar, right, is something else. One is the example that Avram just gave, correct? Because it can't be Maisabia. Another example is the Gemara's discussion about Rashi Evarim. Let's say the guy says, don't you dare, be involved with this person. Now, let's say we're talking about on a level, not a Baisabia, but a Rosh Eivarim. That could be a basis of Kinyu Stira. Right? Then, there's also the question of, another example, Avram? Or Yonatan? Katan. Why do we need, it seems like the Gemara needs a Xeris HaKasuv to teach you that there's no Kinyu Yastira Bekata. So do they need a Kinyu Yastira, do they need, sorry, a Xeris HaKasuv to teach you there's no Kinyu Yastira Bekatan who's Lemala Bi Ben Tes Shana Mi Yomechad, where we at least say Biaso Bia? Or do they even need to tell you that less than that? Right? So the Bali Tosa say, well, Lemala. Because Biaso Bia, but nonetheless, there's no din of kinui. Okay. There's a kasi, right? But the Rambam seems to hold that the din of katan refers to lemata mi tevest ben teisha shanim. So the question is, if that's the case, what are you talking about? The in biyaso biya. Right? So the Beis Halevi really started this whole issue on what was he really talking about? Jonathan. He wanted to know what's the story about Shomeris Yavam, right? What's the story with Shomeris Yavam Kinu Yastira? Because even if she were to violate as a Shomeris Yavam, she would to be involved with some other person, right? She's not Asura Liyavam. So what happens if he does Kinui? So he points out that if you look at the Rambam says that there is kinui by Shomeris Yavam. But how could that be? If the worst were to take place, right, there would be no Iser.
There's no Sotavada.
What?
There's no Sotavada.
There's no Sotavada. Yeah. So what's going on here? Oh. So that's where he also quotes the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, oh, Rabbeinu Tam holds Bias Akum is Kibias Behema. And the Rishonin, Bali Tosis asked from the Sugin Sota Mekanin, right, what are you going to do about that? So again, if you hold Rabbeinu Tam, Chiddush is limited to the Boel and not to the Baal, then as we know, there's no problem. But if you take the version of Rabbeinu Tam, right, that some have, or at least if you're mistapek about that he also thinks that it includes Issa Labal. So what are you going to do with that, Gemara? Let's say here we can't talk about Mordechai's queasiness, or high standards, or even the Chiddush of Kahuna, but we can say something parallel to the Chiddush of Kahuna. So that's what Beis Halevi says. He says, no problem, because Mekanin isn't just a presumption of a Maisabia, which generates the Issa Sota of Eishas Ish. Mekanin is a way of being Koveya Kpeda Sabal. So that's why Mekanin Aideakum, even if Ein Bia Sobia. So of course, again, this just to add in, and that is that the whole idea that kinui is a different, halach, or different maslul, a different, way of creating the Isser, and that it's through Kepeda Sabal, works very well with the discussion of the Marik, again, which I mentioned a few times, right, who says that Omer Mutter doesn't apply, you know, to the violation of Eishes Ish, because the Torah says Moala Bo Moal, meaning the whole idea is Begida. Okay, so we talked about this when we talked about the Raidid, right, who says that Arusa is an Eishes Ish, even to the Arus, and the Iser Arus LaRusa is a violation of Eishes Ish min HaTorah. So I mentioned, well, you know, clearly the Raidid doesn't think that Arus Shabal Arusa is Chai Bisa, right? Why not? What I was saying was, because there might be technically a violation of Eishes Ish, but there's certainly no Begida in that case. It's almost the opposite, right, of Omer Mutter. Anyways, this idea that Begida, that, you know, betrayal, you know, is a partial or a full component in these dinim explains many things. And it also explains the role, the special role of Kinui. That's really what the Gemara means when the Gemara says in Chavav, you know, that he basically ramps up, he determines how we're going to define Kpeida and Begida. I hereby put you on notice, right? In other words, the violation of Eishes, the objective violation of Eishes Ish is a Begida in its own right. Whether the people think about it or not, that, in a way, again, that's the additional Chiddush of the Marik. Right, that just, you know, whatever you think and whatever society you live in, maybe it doesn't matter. It objectively is a betrayal. But isn't it also possible, within reason obviously, that people can set their own standards of betrayal? And what constitutes infidelity? And a violation or an undermining of that cherished, you know, exclusivist relationship? So in a way, that's what the Mishnah Melech and then later Beis Halevi are really establishing through Kinu Yastira. As he says, listen, you know, Teidilach, that if you, you know, continue to have a rendezvous, if you have a rendezvous with, you know, Sebastian, you know, Bartholomew, you know, whatever, you know, I consider that to be a betrayal of our cherished relationship. Again, if, you know, if it's about Starbucks or limited to that, so, you know, maybe that's a little tyrannical. She shouldn't be going with him to Starbucks either, by the way. Let me make that perfectly clear. But we're talking about very severe consequences here. So there has to be some objective, you know, status and stature as well. But at the end of the day, there could be a gray area where we say, you know what, you know, a cup of coffee, you know, in public, you know, is one thing. But any kind of anything beyond that, right, even if it falls short of what the Torah, you know, determines to be an objective begida, you know, that destroys a marriage, can still destroy a marriage. There's an area where he can be koveya. That's what the Gemara means on Chavav. Right? It's an understandable, a reasonable, let's say, level of Kpeda Sabal, and therefore in turn, it's almost like the things that we've been discussing, you know, all along, that, you know, there is a certain, the Torah has certain standards, and then there can be certain gray areas where, whether it's, you know, social norms or personal, you know, personally agreed upon standards, is koveya. That's not going to be unlimited. If Chachamim say, you know, we no longer, you know, think that Kiddush Biyah is a viable way to symbolize Kiddushas HaIshus, then chutzpah ilo. So what we're saying here is, if he says to her, listen, Roshei Varim, or, you know, Bias Katan, technically is Lo Shema Bia, but, you know, there's still a physical act here. Right? Or, in the case of Shomeris Yavam, right? Or, in the case of Mekanen Ayidei Akum, so that constitutes the Begida. So the truth is, that would be a whole halach. Now this idea that Mekanin, right, is a kind of a parallel, you know, but a parallel, but a different track of creating Kepeda Sabal, also opens the door to neutralizing a little bit at least, again, the rushes, you know, ha'ara, by which I referred to yesterday, I mean 2 days ago, and I want to get back to today. Yeah.
Just to clarify, the Ma'arik is referring to the Issa of Baal, because we have these the possibility that Kinoi is basically the Mishamal, it's the exact same parallel.
Right. So I'm not saying it's the same.
Kinoi could be the Gida and
the... I'm just saying the factor of not just objective Ma'isa Bia Shel Issa, but the idea that they're, that, you know, that this is about the violating and destroying the personal trust and the personal relationship between the parties, and that's something I'm pulling from the Ma'arik. You don't have to say, you don't have to agree with the Ma'arik to say what I'm saying, and, you know, you don't have to say what I'm saying, even if you agree with the Ma'arik. I agree. I'm just using it to highlight, this idea, and I'm kind of using this idea in general as a way, together with other things like Hefza Shalbiya, and or the nameless, faceless Boel, as opposed to a person of stature. I'm using these different things to try to draw the line in different places in some of these issues, particularly in Bias Akum, but there are these other Rashi Barim and Shomer Siyavam and Katan and so on. These Shachnet, these are all other, I think, parallels to it. Yeah.
Doesn't Marek require to intend to have a Gida against
them? Well, the question is whether it'll go in both directions or not. In theory, like, let's say she was, well, if she's Anusa, then
no, she's not intending to be Gida.
I don't remember that. I thought his point was that there's no Omer Mutter. Even if she says, I didn't know Judaism thought that, you know, Eishes Ish cannot, you know, have extramarital relationships. Right, because, well, he's assuming that. The question would be, people have always asked me over the years, maybe this is what you're asking also, like, you know, what would you say, you know, Nebuch, we live in a different world now, right? But Nebuch, you know, this part of Nebuch, right? Some good parts of our world and some bad parts, meaning the idea of, you know, fidelity or infidelity today is just looked at in a different way, sadly. Although, again, reasonable idealistic people don't. But, you know, on a pragmatic level, people say, listen, you know, this is, you know, you can't pick up a New York Times and, any day of the week and not read about some sordid chapter in some seemingly otherwise legitimate person's life. So definitely people are much more inured, you know, to the horror, let's say. Even 10, even 30 years ago, you know, things were different and kal v'chomer. There were always, breaches of all this. This is a human area of human activity, as we know, which is extremely challenging and which people, you know, have always been itch of. That's what the Rambam, you know, emphasizes so strongly, you know, in Yad HaChazaka and in Pirush Mishnayos as well. I mean, he's just telling us things that we know about the force of human nature. But the point is that if you live in a world in which, at least ideologically and so on, you know, people understand that, not that there is such a thing as loyalty, and this is an area where, you know, where there should be some kedusha and a cherished relationship. So then, when Ma'arik is saying in that kind of a context, what are you going to say? I thought the Torah thought it was that you thought the Torah permitted it. Great, but you understood that it's still a betrayal.
Yeah, but then the things are pretty different.
But then, just 1 second, you'll tell me in a second whether I'm saying the same thing or not. But then, what about if you live in a society where, unfortunately, people are inured to this, and they say, you know, okay, you know, it's this is the way of society. This is the way of, you know, so then they don't even consider it to be a begida, or it's only a begida if the person finds out, you know, or you know, if both parties say, we both want to have an open marriage. So is that begida? Now, if you ask me, I would say that objectively, it's still a begida. And but I'm not sure what the Ma'arik says in that case. Is that what you're asking? Or are you trying to be medayik that it's so?
It sounds like it would be in that case.
Then in that case he might be more flexible. So you can read the line again? What's the number, by the way?
Kuf Samach
Zayin. It's also, by the way, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the very last siman of Shulchan Aruch, in Evan Ezra. But yeah. The Shmuel Kah quotes it. It got a lot of press for good reason. It's an amazing Ma'arik. It's also, as we said before, a great example of, you know, Mefarshim Darshanim, which is in an incredible way. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
And you think from there that that means... No, I think the question is, I still remain with my Hakira, which is, meaning, she knows what she's doing, and objectively it is a betrayal, whatever she thinks about it, or does it depend on whether she thinks of, of marriage in those terms? I hear what you're saying, I just don't see that it's, I don't think the hechrek from that line, I've seen that line, I don't...
In a parallel, you're saying, if it would say ma'al ma'al Hashem, she would need kavana to...
Because then she would have to think that it's a violation, that's who's she sinning against here. No, if she's saying, but I thought the halal, I don't care. Forget about my husband. This is a ben adam lamakom, or also a ben adam lamakom, and I thought it was mutter. I didn't know Judaism was cared about that. I knew my husband cared. I don't know that the Rabbi Shalom cared.
And now she said, I didn't know my husband cared.
Right, that's what you're asking.
Right.
I know. I don't know. I'm just saying, is that something that everybody? I'm a little more idealistic in all this. What I'm saying is, well, isn't that like just very basic? Whether or not whatever you guys agreed to, and even sincerely, isn't that just what marriage is, and therefore it's always a violation? Mm-hmm. Or will you say, oh no, you live in this kind of society, if you can get away with it, or if you both are permissive about it, then fine. I don't. There'll be no heter, but don't get me wrong. Clearly, the Marik will never say that there's no violation of Eishes Ish. The question is it a violation for Mo'al and Bo'mal, or is it, that's just to be machmir that you can't say Omer Mutter, but I don't think it'll ever be Mekil that'll be Mutter. I just don't know whether it's Midino Mo'al and Bo'mal, or just, well, there's a Ma'is Aveir, it's on the books. I mean, for sure the Marik will never say that it's a Heter based on this, even according to what you're suggesting. I know what you're suggesting, I'm just saying, I don't see that the words prove one way or another, I think it just depends whether you think, like I do, that this is like an objective idea, a norm, that whatever society does, whatever the two of you agree, marriage by definition includes a component of exclusivity and loyalty, because it does in halacha, and therefore, acting upon it is necessary, or not. That I'm not sure about.
I think, then it doesn't seem like his point is so strong, because he could have said, if it would have said, amal v'ashem,
so then, so then.
Objectively, it's a ma'al v'ashem to be mizana. Why does it have to be that she has kavana to do an isher?
No, we're just saying, no, because there is a din that Omer Mutter in general is not considered to be amazing. We're not saying that you get scot free. We want to know, do you get the death penalty? Omer Mutter, let's say Omer Mutter on Shabbos. Let's say you're Omer Mutter about, Eber Menachan. Does that affect the onesh that you get? You met a discussion of the Gemara in a number of places. Is Omer Mutter Ones? Is Omer Mutter Shogeg? Is Omer Mutter Karov Lemezid? This is a topic which we're not doing right now, but this is a big issue. What is the status of Omer Mutter? What the Marik is saying is, there's no question that you violate. What the Marik is saying is this, does the normal issue of Omer Mutter apply here? And he's being Mechadesh, that the answer is no. That's all. That's because she is. I just don't know whether it's because she's miskabenes limobo, and that depends also on her attitude towards her husband and marriage and his attitude and so on, or whether that's an objective statement that she is moel bo, because the halacha doesn't.
It's an objective statement. Why even throw in kavana? Right? She's miskabenes limobo.
No, because it had it been had it also had a ben adam lamakom defining component, then it would have been the regular din of Omer Mutter on that level. That's all.
Right, but he's never entertained the possibility that it's objectively a begida or objectively a ma'al.
I'm saying we don't know in the Marik, when it's all said and done, whether the begida me'ila bo part is contingent upon either society or their personal agreement or their personal perspective on marriage, or whether that's not objective. I don't see anything in the Marik. No, I understand. I still don't think that that's... I think that's possible, but I don't think it's compelling. Either way, we're talking about in terms of Omer Mutter. We're not talking about violating. The only question would be a violation of Shogeg or Mezid or whatever. You certainly... Either way, the Ma'is Aveir is the Ma'is Aveir. But I personally would... Again, total speculation, because I think that's a gray area in the Marik. I personally would bet that it's more, oh, this is something objective, that's what marriage is, and, you know, her kavana in that respect is less important than, but had it been ben adam lemakom, then omer mutar, is a different story. Yeah.
So there's a shvut Yaakov,
okay,
where he bases himself on the Maharik. He has a case where they were attacked by a group of Jews attacked by bandits,
okay,
and Ish Ish saved them all by being mezana with like the head bandit, and so the shvut Yaakov says,
sounds like the hegemon.
Yeah. So he says simultaneously she is asur to her baal, but what she did was right, and afilu nid nud avera einba.
And why is she asur about? Was he a kohen?
No.
That was considered. That was considered onus, or
it would be onus, yeah.
So why is she asur about?
Well, I mean, she berat zon entered this whole situation.
Okay, so that we'll get to soon. That's a different. You know, that's kind of a. Gets into the karka ola issue.
He did avera in ba, that was the right thing to do. That is, if he had been there,
but still asur laba. Okay, I understand that. That's a fascinating thing. But you know, because there's a certain objective violation of the marriage.
Yeah, he reads the Maharik as there being an objective.
I hear that. Okay, where's that? Shvus Yaakov.
Yud Zion. Chelik that.
Is that quoted in Pesachet Shuvah or something? Or
no.
Okay.
Well, not that I know.
Yeah. Anyways, very good. I think it's a fascinating issue. I just want to add, because I don't want to get too bogged on, because our last... Yeah, you want to try one more time?
Can you explain how it could be an objective meisa vida?
Because that's marriage. Marriage, by definition, is a relation, is an exclusivist relationship.
But the idea that marriage is an exclusivist relationship, shouldn't the vida be defined by what the vida or what the thing?
No, no. Well, I think if... Let me put it this way. If you had a situation like you have, you know, one of those Croesus cases, you know, where, you know, the guy just a fizzing misasik, he doesn't know what he's doing. Okay. Or she doesn't know what he's doing. She, you know, mistakes her husband for some other person. There's no begida in that case. Okay. What I'm saying is, does your wrong, you know, perspective, you know, either from a social point of view, or even as a consensual agreement with your husband, right? Does that matter in terms of whether or not, you know, there isn't?
Wouldn't that be a begida against the institution of Ishus, right, not against the Baal?
No, I what I'm saying is that the Torah considers it to be, once you have entered into this relationship, the Torah considers it to be a begida of your Baal. I don't think that that's a hard concept to explain. I don't think it's mukhrav. But I don't. I would think that default, that's the more reasonable position to take. The Torah holds us to a certain standard that says, you know, whether he is upset or not, you betrayed him. Because that what marriage is about, loyalty and fidelity. That's part of the core definition. It's not, oh, there's something called marriage. And in addition to that, you know, there's some like these, you know, romantic, you know, flower type elements. Okay. Okay. No. Part of the Hagdara, the Asra Kula Alma Kehekdesh, of marriage, Vidavak Beishto, Vahayul Basar Echad, is this existential bond which doesn't allow for sharing and is fundamentally exclusivist. That, you know, Baal Keishto, Ishto Kebaal, you know, doesn't depend on, they could say they're both crazy or they're both nasty or, you know, but they're both, you know, emotionally and religiously insensitive. But still, objectively, the dinim of Baal Ki'ishto Ishto Kebaal, in terms of, you know, Hilchos Eidus, and everything else, and Tumas, you know, Mace, and so on, are still there. They're still Hayu L'Basar Echad. And objectively, that means that going outside of marriage, even, you know, with the blessing of the other partner and the full bombardment of signals from society, right, is still an absolute objective betrayal of what the halacha defines as ishus. Nothing to do with the Rabbana Shalom.
The begida of the spouse.
The begida of the spouse.
Not
even of the spouse. The halacha views this as a begida of the spouse, not just as a begida of the marriage or the Rabbana Shalom's view of the marriage. That's what I'm suggesting. I'm not 100% sure that the Marik would sign on for that. I totally agree with your raising the question, but if you ask me my strong inclination,
the Radak in Bereishis says that the Isra Veshas Ish is a mitzvah tiklios because of Isha Piyuba.
Okay, so that's like this,
right? So you know just logically that you can't can't take someone's land, you can't take someone's own book.
Right. Very good. Okay, now. Let me finish up this little piece and let's say two quick things. So I'm not going to follow through the details because I still want to get so mekanin al nevi kachavim and this rush. So what does the rush say? The rush says we'll get to it in a minute. But the isul of boel says the rush. The Rabbeinu Tam is right about the isul of boel. But lo mitame.
The Ma'arik at the end of his teshuva connects it to Yael and Esther.
Yeah.
And it says even though she did, they did a big mitzvah rabbah. Even though that was the case, she was still asur to Mordechai. As an objective,
so that would work.
As an objective ma'alo bo ma'al.
Right. Right. So it's even when they did the right thing from the Rabbeinu Shalom's point of view as a ma'isa vera, but it's still this is a they've tarnished the you know that purity. We understand why not out of riches chas v'shalom, but it can't be the same. That's basically what we're saying. Very good. Okay, that's a good. You have it in the end there? You have a line?
Yeah. Sorry.
Of course, all this, you know, Avera Lishma stuff, which Tosis talks to, is very fascinating. You know, both about Esther and Yael. I mean, the idea that they may have done the right thing, but there are still consequences to what they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Vafilo Hachi, Nasserol Mordechai Baala Mishim Otomaisa Shayab Ratzon.
I mean, now you're going back, meaning that might or might not make a difference, but he's right that it's a good example where they certainly didn't intend to do Begida. I mean, it was like a bigger, I did this to save Klal Yisrael. What?
They knew it was a Begida.
What I'm saying is that wasn't the intention.
Mordechai says, save Klal Yisrael.
Right. Or Mordechai told them what he said. Anyway, it doesn't. I don't know where to draw the line. I'm not 100%. I know where I would draw the line, but I think that's an important point. That in the case of the Ma'arik, that even in the case where they did the right thing, you know, but this is not salvageable because it's
a kol shekein. Though he says the kol shekein from a case where you know it's mutter for external reasons, the case where you don't know that it's usher.
Yeah.
Not so obvious.
Yeah, it's not obvious at all. But that's what he says. Anyway, it's a fascinating topic. Regarding Mekanin, just one more, let's finish it up. Boel, so Rabbeinu Tam says that, you know, that, I'm sorry, the Rush says that we agree with Rabbeinu Tam, but lav mitameh. Correct? And the Tam is because the Issa of the Boel has to be the only Issa. So number one, that in itself is a fascinating thing. What does that mean? That's Machlokas Rishonim, right? And that comes from Ahava Mina regarding Mekanin. So let's talk about that for a second. Obviously, some Rishonim disagree. Right. So this idea of it being Ein Yisr Chal Al Yisr, maybe. I think more likely, as I said before, that the Yisr LeBoel and its relationship to the Yisr LeBaal is an interesting issue. And especially if you're talking about, well, him as marriage material. What is your first contact with this, you know, the present potential Chassan? Right? That was the first contact. There's no Isha's Shel Kedusha that's going to come from there, my friend. Okay? So, ironically, you know, if there's another reason why that person was never a candidate then, right? Because he's Mufka, or because he's Aser anyway, I mean, they don't look at it that way. It's not like, oh, she, you know, you didn't wait till the divorce to start, you know, relationship with your next husband. You know, that's a psul gomor. But, you know, there were bigger fish to fry there. You know, he's an akum or some other iser. I also wonder, let me throw that in, since the mokar for this idea is mekan and akum, is it any iser? Any distraction iser? What is it, like, you know, a matzah shel tevel? You know? The Matzah Shel Tevel people in the crowd. All right. But the Gemara says, you know, only when it's chametz alone that's on the table, you know, is there an Isra chametz. Nothing to do with that one day in the Gemara says. But if it's also Tevel, you know, then, you know, the chametz part isn't on the agenda so much. Nothing to do with Isra Chal Isra. So, similar here, what are we saying? So is it any Isra? Or is it something like Akum, which is off the radar screen? He's not a candidate for marriage. He's an akum. He's mufka legami. Kedushin is not even tofes. Right? You wonder. Right? Even if you hold like the rush, is what I'm saying. Okay. But what is this all about? Whereas the other Rishonim will say, no such thing. He ruined this guy's marriage, especially if the Gorem is the Issa Labal, is Koveya, the Issa Laboel, it's a kind of loye kote niskar. It's not about him being a candidate and you know, turning to him too early and ruining it. Right? It's about, you know, he poisoned my relationship. Or that guy's relationship. Loye kote niskar, kind of knasto raiso. Whatever. But the point is as follows. The mocker for this idea is Mekanim Akum. So, A, is it only Akum type Mufka Mitzvisas Kedushin, or is it other things? A. But again, Rush doesn't seem to think so, but I think it could be. But B, the point is that where does this come from Mekanim? And then in the Maskana, the Gemara says Mekanim Akum, even though it's not so. So the Rush was more interested when it comes to the Isser Laboel. The Rush was saying, oh, the Havamina is more important than the Maskana. You might have said the Havamina is irrelevant. And you might have said that the Maskana is relevant. Right? You might have said, oh, there's no such concept at all, which is the people who don't hold like the Beinu Tamim don't hold like the Rush. That's what they say. Right? But how come there was such a concept in Mekanin? Okay, it was a Havamina. Or is it more than that? And as I say, you might say even the Maskana. So what's going on? What I'd like to say is, once again, in light of the Mishle Melech about Rashi Varim and Katan and the Beis Halevi's extension to Shomeres Yavam and to Akum and so on, and our discussion, what you might say is this whole idea, right? Either the Havamina that there is such a din, or that it has to be, you know, that the Iser Eshesish is the only Ma'akev, and not any other distraction, or at least not something like Akko. Or, to explain the Maskana, well, we don't hold that way in Kinui, but we, according to the Rush, we are holding that way in Akko. Remember, the Rush is having his cake and eating it too. He said, the Havamina of Kinui is relevant to the Maskana of Iser Boel. That's really what the Rush is saying, and you could argue on both sides of that. Okay? So if the Rush needs to explain why he doesn't chew the Maskana in Kinui, and others might say that it isn't true, you know, at all in Boel, because, well, you know, even if it was true in the Havamina or in the Maskan of Kinui. So the more you see Kinui, right, and Iser Eish Esish per se as the same, and what is just a kind of a shortcut to presumption of the other, right, the easier it is, you know, to equate them. But we might say that it's a whole different way of creating Isha Labala. Lekula and Lechumra. In which case, you know, the Havamina there may not be relevant, or at least the Maskana there may not be relevant. Okay, so that's the point I wanted to make. One added point as well. Reb Chaim has a whole mahalach in his Chibur on the Rambam about Kinui Yistira, where he too tries to explain that Kinui Yistira isn't just a projection of Bias Iser, but it's a process in which is Mechayiv in its own right, or which is Oser in its own right. He doesn't go as far as the Beis Halevi to explain that it's a Shiur on the Mishnah Melech. In Kpeda Sabal, that's the Oser, but he does try to explain that Kinui Yistira is a separate Oser. If that should be, I think, and can be very much integrated with this approach. It's also a great example of Reb Chaim's formalism, you know, whereas the Beis Halevi a little earlier was a little more, Tamei Mitzvos or explanatory in his approach. But I don't want to get too involved in that. But that you should just be aware that Reb Chaim has like a parallel discussion, not exactly the same, about Kinui Yistira being a Mechayiv in its own right. Okay, now let's get back to the other point. And that is the Gershon is Gair Kakatun Shinola Dami issue. So, again, the Ritva, the Mordechai, the Tosar Rosh and Sota, right, they quote Gershon is Gair Kakatun Shinola Dami. And once they do, I mean, I can't speak for the rest of the Tzibor here, but I just know that in my case, know, if you weren't wondering where it was beforehand, certainly once they quote it, you really wonder, you know, why, how anybody could not quote it. The whole Rabbeinu Tam seems to be built on the assumption that we don't say Gershon is Geyer, Kekotin Shenola Dami, meaning that on some level, the Iser Leboel, you know, Lu Yitzuya, there was an Iser Leboel of the Akum that it would carry over to being Yisrael after the Geirus. And it doesn't only because that it never existed, B'shas Akum. And then there's this group of Rishonim that's saying, what are you talking about? Gershon is Geyer, Kekotin Shenola Dami. And that's why there's a heter. Right? Oh. So you wonder what's going on. Why not? That's A. B, if you look very carefully at the language of the Ritva and the language of the Tosa Rosh, as we noted, it seems that even the people who are quoting Gershon Isgar Kekotin Shenola Dami don't seem to be so confident about it. Or at least they're not embracing it the way that we would have expected. The way we would have expected be that there's an Isil Boel, right? And of course it doesn't carry over, you know, because that was Bartholomew Sebastian, or whatever I called him. And now he's, what do we say, Baruch or Ben Zion? Baruch, he said, right? So it's Baruch Shlo, Baruch Schneier. Okay. So, a different guy. Right? Eini osa ish, asa osa namasim. Okay, that's a Chosshuva line, but he's a Gershon is Geyer, he's Kekotin Shenola Dami. So why do we need to be combining somehow the Rosh's idea with this idea? Now, I'm saying everybody does. It's not so 100% clear to me in the Tosa Rosh, but in the Ritva it sounds that way, even in the Tosa Rosh it does sound that way. So what's going on? Oh. So, again, this is not the time for a longer discussion of Gershon's Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami, but it is an issue that comes up, as we know, in Sanhedrin, especially, and in Yevamos, and Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Aleph, Nun Zayin. We don't always say Gershon is Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami. That's number one. Let's give you a couple of quick examples, but I don't want to get, you know, too entrenched in the topic. Number one, when Ben Noach or a non-Jew has an onesh, right? He can't get out of his own shim through geirus. But he can say Gershon is Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami. Now he's Baruch Shneir. So, you know, he doesn't have to get punished for what he did when he was, you know, Bartholomew Sebastian. So you could say, okay, but that's because we don't want, you know, Kedushas Yisrael is not a refuge for, yeah.
So, like he says, Harim Kedushat Li, Amanat Shid Geyer.
Okay, what about it?
So, it can work.
Can or can't?
It can work.
No. Oh. No, because that's what Gemara says in Kedusha. That's the Darshav Ali Olam, because Mikar Behema V'Hachadas Acheres. But that's the part of the Dov Shalom Aleichem, so again, the third paragraph of Kiddusha. Anyways, the point is that, you know, there are exceptions. There's a discussion, Itamar,
yeah,
one of the prominent ones, about, you know, where again, we seem to be defying the rule of Gershon is Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami.
Puruvu.
Right?
Yeah.
We go to the Puruvu Guru, you know. For,
I was Jewish when I had my daughter.
What's that? No, that's because you come from a very reputable family. you know, Piri Verivia, what's the debate there?
Whether Yotze Piri
Verivia with the children you had. Yotze for the children that you had when you were, you know, before Galus. And a parallel discussion, what about Yerusha and Bechor, right? All sorts of interesting things. What happened to Gershon Isgari? Gershon Shadola Dami. In all these cases, right? Very tamua. Oh. There's a discussion in Yevamos about, you know, Horasa Biktusha Vleidasa. I'm sorry, Horasa Shelo Biktusha Vleidasa Biktusha. Right there too, Machlokas Rishonim and question: is it Gershon is Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami there or not? Right, the Ramban, Yevamos. That's where the, you know, all those technological issues, you know, come in, surrogate mothers and so on. Okay. There are some exceptions. Matan Torah. Right? Gershon is Geyer Kekotin Shenola Dami. So there should have been havoc at the time of Matan Torah. right? And the question is, why wasn't there? Psalei kurva, the need for remarriages, all sorts of things. You know, there was some bechia in the mishpachos, but not because of that. Right. So what's going on? How come we don't always say gershon iskar kakata chenolata? So the yisod seems to be what? What would you say? Tamar? When do you say it, when not? Broadly speaking.
Maybe when it's telling it's totally on Kedushas Yisrael, then it'll
play. Exactly. But it's something that's dependent upon Kedushas Yisrael, on the status of the person himself in a positive way. So there's a Rubicon, and you just can't bridge the gap. The only way you can bridge the gap is if you walk hand in hand, you know, maybe twins, you know, Rasa Shelo Biktusha Vle Dasa Biktusha, or Olaf Klal Yisrael, where the concept of Klal Yisrael didn't exist previously. They all took a giant step. You could almost visually see it, right? Even if you're not Cecil B. DeMille. Right? Everybody kind of, you know, walking over that Rubicon, you know, hand in hand, you know, together. But normally, even when people, even a family, we're going to definitely at some point do the sugya of Ger Katan, which is Yud Aleph. Again, we'll have to figure out how to make sure to get it in, but we will. Before the end of June. Gershon is Geir Kakatan Shino. Geir Katan is a case where sometimes as a family it's misgayer together. But just because they're misgayer together, right, doesn't mean there's nothing to be mitzaref them. They, you know, they don't walk across the Rubicon together. Klal Yisrael did. You know, twins maybe could. But anyways, the problem is that gap. So whenever there's a discrepancy between Kedushas Yisrael, whenever you need Kedushas Yisrael, or personal identity, specific personal identity, then there's Gershon Isgar, Kakatan Shinola. There's debates in Rishonim where we draw the line, but this is a great example. This is one of them. However, where we're dealing with a more physical or more dramatic or a more universalist, humanist kind of a, you know, perspective, not a Jew, but a person. Or not a person, you know, particularly of stature, but it could be a faceless, nameless person, you know. So the question in Piri Verivia, in the end of the day, is, well, his DNA has been propagated, right? Moreover, maybe the obligation, at least Lasheves, isn't just a Jewish obligation, right? And maybe Piri Verivia is only when your DNA isn't out there. Maybe that's a precondition. Right, it's very fascinating. Even the view that is kind of Piri Verivia, right, is not so simple. Right, there are conditions and so on, and these formulations are helpful for all of them. Yerusha, right? To what extent, in other words, on things that apply to a Ben Noach and to a Yisrael, for example, Jewish law recognizes that Sebastian Bartholomew needed to be punished for his crimes against, you know, humanity. You know, Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, or whatever. So, you know, from this side of the Rubicon, you know, we were keeping an eye on that too. You can't escape into Kedushas Yisrael, you know, and that file doesn't just disappear. Because we know about it, and we recognize it, and it's part of the human side. You can't escape your Bnei Noach responsibilities, that you're still a human being, there's continuity in that. Now, question is, what?
But now he's chayav a different mita.
Right, so that's what we have to figure out. We have to figure out whether those differences are quantitative or qualitative. And even if they are qualitative, do they not recognize, you know, is that, you know, an appending of the file? Or is it, you know, a totally different file? Or if it's a different file, is it in the same file cabinet at least? Right? Yeah. Say again?
Some of Hashim say that Shimon and Levi were wrong in killing Anshei Shechem because of Gershon's Gaia.
Well, there are, I mean, that's not the general view. I mean, the Sfarno, I think, says they really underwent the Mila because they wanted the financial benefits, you know, that they talked about to their people. Like, they talked up, they didn't talk up, Kedushas Yisrael, it's going to be great, right? They said, oh, the trade, you know, the rubles, it's just going to be, you know, play the rubles. The Radvaz says that on the Rambam? Yeah, okay. I mean, but maybe that's the point, that what they're saying is. Okay, I'm saying this, it's, you're asking, oh, so how would that, but, I mean, Lemaisa, Lahalacha, no one thinks that a Gershon is Geyer, is Potter me, his crimes of Benoach. Right? So, maybe that's the point. You have those crimes, maybe that's why it was not. I mean, I'm smart as saying because it wasn't sincere. But, although he's not saying that has anything to do with the, he's not saying they would have escaped Chiyuv Misa if not for it. Maybe another way to say that they can't be Mizgayer is because Geirus doesn't work. You know, in the con, maybe if you're Chiyuv Misa or whatever to get you out of it. I'm not sure, I have to look at the formulations. Okay. The general view certainly is that that's not the issue. The point is, getting back to here. So, we talked about the Isil Abao, we talked about the Isil Boel, etc. So again, why according to Rabbeinu Tam, and according to the Reef for that matter, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Isil Boel is Paka because it doesn't exist because of Bias Behema. Correct? And according to the Pashtus of the Reef, not the Rosh, in other words, there was an Isil Boel. I'm sorry, there is an Isil Boel. Sorry. Despite the Geirus. So both of them basically would seem to agree that Gershon is Garka Katan Shinolad is irrelevant here. Oh. So the answer, I think, is very simple, exactly what we've just said. They will tell you that the violation, especially if you take the view that violating Eishes Ish with a non-Jew, which is a Machokas HaRishonim, is Mechayev Her Misa, right? A non-Jew also has Isurei Arayos. Right? And let's add, the more you think that this is about the Isa Labal, causing the Isa Labal, right? Which according to that version of Rabbeinu Tam, the majority version of Rabbeinu Tam, it does. Or her being a Neveles, or there being a Chefza Shalbia, or the Gavra HaBoel, you know, being anybody but her husband, all of those are perhaps reasons to think that Gershon is Geir Kekotan Shinola doesn't apply here. Because Gershon is Geir Kekotan Shinola really means is he's not the same person, but we don't care about his stature. Because either this is physical or consequence oriented, right? Or it's nameless, faceless, you know, mice and person-oriented, but that too just means a human being other than her husband, not necessarily a Jew other than her husband. Okay. But, according to the Rishonim who disagree, they'll say no. They'll say the Isa Laboel is a matter of stature. Right? It's him as the Boel, or it's him as a candidate, and that no longer exists. What about the middle Shita? That seems to say, well, you need both of these things together. Oh. So I think that's exactly the ticket. That's exactly the point. Namely, if we weren't applying Gershon is Geyer, Kekatan, oh, put it, let me say it this way. If we weren't saying that there was no Iser Leboel because he was already Usur to her and maybe even Mufka Legamri, right? Then what we would be saying was that the Isa Laboel is something that applies to an Akum. Right? And if the Isa Laboel is something that applies to an Akum despite the fact that he's an Akum, then that's exactly the point. Then Gershon is Garka Kata Shinola Dummy doesn't work. It's precisely because we're saying, right, that in his previous status, it was Betoras Goy that he was Mufka, and therefore isn't a Boel. It's precisely for that reason that we're saying, and Gershon is Geir Kekotan Shinola. Meaning, if it wasn't for Gershon is Geir Kekotan Shinola, so you might say something like, oh, Ein Yisr Chal Al Yisr, but when the Yisr Rishon is Paka, so the Yisr Sheni is Chal. right? But if the point is that Gershon is Gaier Kekotan Shanola Adami, right, then what we're really saying is that the reason that he was Mufka from being a Boel is because he was a Goy. Right? And that status, meaning the Bias Goy is different than Bias Yisrael, the Haraya, there's no Iser Boel, right? That's something that doesn't transfer. So really the two merge together. The perspective of what the nature of the Iser Boel is and why it should or shouldn't exist, and the conditions which determine whether we're dealing with a more universalist, humanist, Chefza shall be a consequence-oriented, you know, etc. These things come together, perhaps in the Tosa Rosh, and maybe even in the Ritzos Rabbeinu Yechiel. Okay? So that is what I wanted to say about Biasako. Okay, now let's talk a little bit, I don't have so much time, about Karka Olam. Okay, are we good on Biasako? Did we leave anything out that we're supposed to talk about? Anybody have any? Yeah.
Could it be that there's a separate consideration of Akame and Achayas?
Of what?
Of Akame and Achayas, independent from...
in the Baal case.
Pitzachem or Amisarum.
Independent of?
Of Pitzachem or Amisarum. That those just kind of brings them together.
Yeah, so I... Who mentioned this to me? You didn't mention this to me, right? No? Who mentioned to me the other day about, was it Ellie?
They're two different psukim?
No. Meaning, that Ein Lo Ya, Ein Lo Yichus, in addition to being a shiur in Gavra Boel, Maisabia, etc., who mentioned this to me? That maybe it's a din in the Iser Leboel, or Iser Lebal Leboel. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
I like that idea. I don't see
kinda
it.
Kind of like we're saying that Puruhu is a shear and she's
exactly.
Maybe,
so the potential, even not because she is pregnant, but the potential for it.
Yeah, for Chayas, it's like Yibub.
Just like I would say about Yibub and so on.
Right, and
yeah. So exactly, yeah. So somebody, who mentioned this to me the other day? No one else take credit? Oh, you did. Oh, David mentioned it to me. Correct, sorry. I apologize. Yeah, so David suggested this to me. You implanted this in his... No. Okay. Anyways, yeah, I like that idea very much. I don't really see... I'd love to see somebody say it more explicitly. I don't really think that that's the easiest shot in, you know, Rabbeinu Tam. But I think it makes a lot of sense. In other words, what David and Itamar are both suggesting is that the connection to Yichus, instead of being a Hagdara of Gavr Boel, you know, Maisa Bia, etc., is the following idea, and that is that the Iser Leboel, you know, is connected to the quality again of the relationship between the parties. And what they're saying is, if she was Niveles to someone, right, who had she borne his child, you know, would be his child, then that reflects, you know, a certain intensity of that encounter and a certain meaning, in other words, and significance to that act in that relationship.
It's also a little Medea can tell us, because he starts off by saying there's no Chiyamita because Afke Lazare, and he says there's no Isser Leboel because Kipsar Chamei Kipsarim.
Okay.
So it could be that the Chiyamita,
that's what we talked about before. I think we may have to come in a couple minutes late. Whether that means HSC or that means
I mean, that's
Afre
Lazare. Whereas just the Isolabola might be just Dinan Sarkam Ramsar.
You mean you're assuming they're two different Dinan?
Yeah, it sounds like that. I mean, two different.
I think it's Mechudash to read it that way. Again, I like it, but David, do you want to go for it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's maybe. I don't know. But I like the idea. So again, the idea, as we're describing it, is, you know, some of the Rishonim say that, you know, Yibam only applies to an Ishus that had the potential for Piri Varivya. And we've talked about this here, again, a number of times this year, that even if Piri Varivya and Ishus are different and separate, we talked about, again, about Bia Rishonim the other day, both Bia Smitsu Paresh and Tosis' comment, you know, in Chasen Avel, that Piri Varivya is a Shir in Vidavak Beishto, and it's a Shir in the... the kium in the Ishus and in the relationship. And the idea of, you know, b'hoyel basarechon. So the point is that even if, we're not saying that the Isur Leboel is only when she's pregnant. Right? But what we're saying is The idea that they're suggesting is that instead of the yichus being a shir and maisa bia, bias behema, and what I'm saying further, boel, and so on, what they're saying is it's a shir in the, you know, the how consequential and relationship defining, you know, how serious is this action. And the point is that this isn't, it's kibias behema. It can't produce a child. Even if it produces a child, it's not his child. And that's a shiur, not just in Maisabia, as a technical hagdara, right? But of, you know, it's not the kind of threatening relationship, you know, which causes either the boel, or iser, laba. So I like it very much. I think it's a great idea. I just honestly don't think that that's the simplest shot in Rabbeinu Tam. But I think it's an idea that it's worth looking into. Yeah.
On that topic, is there anything that there's, let's say, the Ritva who emphasizes the process of Hamorim as opposed to Gazera and Rabbeinu Tam Tosafos?
So again, I hadn't originally, but I'm willing to look at it again. I hear. I mean, that's kind of what along these lines.
The Ritva only quotes the Gazera and Tosafos only quote Gazera.
Yeah, maybe. Something to think about. I hadn't thought of it, but I like it. Yeah.
Just because you mentioned Isser Kol El Isser, why wouldn't it be Isser Kol El, the Boel, and the Baal?
Isser Kol El. I'm not getting it.
Oh,
I see. I meant more the paradigm of.
Because I've been wondering about that for a few days, but no one says it in terms of.
Yeah, no. I don't really think it's an Isser Kol El. So I think it's, as I say, that he, you know, he's mufka, or he's not a candidate, or the issue isn't Eishes Ish, her future husband. He's not a future husband. He's not even a, you know, he's not even a candidate, and therefore his lack of candidacy, you know, his improper candidacy too early isn't posel him later either. I should also add just one other thing. I like that idea that David and Itamar both suggesting. I just want to mention another thing, and that is, of course, part of the debate here in the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri and the Rush and the Ritva and so on, as we mentioned, is the relationship between Iser and Baal and Boel. So I already discussed three perspectives on how to understand the Iser and Boel. And part of that discussion really is whether or not the Iser Libaal is what causes the Iser Libaal. Certainly the Iser Libaal doesn't cause the Iser Libaal. The question whether the Iser Libaal is what causes the Iser Libaal, or these are two things happening at the same time. So if there are two things happening at the same time, so then the citation of one for the other obviously is to show that, you know, well, it's the same action, so it is Bia, it's not Bia. And that's what we were laboring hard to try to explain. No, from the perspective of the Baal, it's the anybody but, or the Chepsa Shel Bia, or the Begida, whereas for the Boel, it's, you know, him as a Gavra, or a Maisa, and all the things that we said. I don't have to repeat them. Fine. But that's the Huadin perspective, and some Rishonim say it that way. Others say, well, Mekivan, right, it's a garam, meaning it sounds like the Iser Lib, the Boel is because of the Iser Labal, and so on. I think that's an important issue in the sugya. So just to mention that is a big issue in Iser Labal, Iser Boel in general. And I wanted you to look at it. I don't know if you got a chance. Anybody get a chance? Did you get a chance to look at the Mishnah Melech? It's a massive Mishnah Melech on that topic. Ellie, what does he talk about?
I started it.
Okay, so you don't have to go the whole thing, but it is worth going through, because like all Mishnah Melechs, in addition to having this incredible eye for, you know, isolating factors and highlighting certain things, sometimes like the analysis itself is just, you know, and the things that he brings up are either very compelling or very uncompelling, meaning they engender, some sort of response. So it's an interesting piece. What are some of the issues that he raises, though? Ellie?
Can you read it?
Yeah, just for a second. Just for the beginning, just the way. So then he goes on to say, what are some examples of the cases that he's interested in? This is, Kedarko. Mishnah Melech, Menachas Chinuch, there's nobody better than them at these kind of things.
Whether he's a Mizid and she's a Shogig or other way around.
Or, exactly. Let's say you can flip them around. Let's say you have, they're not on the same page, basically. And in some cases of, you know, Kahuna also, right? Right? Yeah. So you know, Eshes Kohen, but he's a, you know, he's a mazid, she's a shogeg, or he's a shogeg and she's a shogeg, or you know, and so on and so forth. So he has some of those cases, try to isolate some of these issues, but it very much depends on the issues that we've been discussing. Okay, let's move on. So just for a minute about Shas HaShmad. I don't know. Let's hold off on the Shas HaShmad. Okay, let's talk about the end of Tosin, because we don't have so much time. So Tosin, the end, speaks about the distinction between Karka Olam and not. Tosin seems to be Michalik, as we noted, between Farhesia and Gili Arayos. Tosin says, we might have thought that Gili Arayos, it's obvious that there's a Patur Karka Olam, whereas when it comes to Farhesia, which is based on Kiddush Hashem, there's no such heter. Kamash Malan, that's not the case, or maybe that's Gufa, the Machlokas between Rava and Abaya, you know, which who give different answers. The Machlokas Rishonim in general, whether Abaya and Rava argue or not. Okay. So as we explained, it seems what Tosis is trying to suggest, at least in the Havamina, is that Kiddush Hashem is Koveya for Farhesia, and that Chomer Soaveira, to use the Ramban's terminology, is Koveya with regard to Esther Gili Arayos. And the Rishonim would disagree. Most of the Rishonim would disagree are the ones who think that even the Gimel Averos, or at least Gili Arayos of the three, is certainly the best candidate. Rotzeach is the worst candidate for this, are based on, even though Betzina, Kiddush V'Chilol Hashem. Again, Rotzeach seems to be a Svara, it seems to be about the Chumras HaAveira, or at least about, you know, you know, not having the right to take another life, Bekum Ba'aseh, you know, or looking at lives as being, you know, inherently, not only intrinsically sanctified, but, you know, maximally so, but equal. So obviously this idea that Rotzeach would be Kiddush V'Chilol Hashem is particularly, it might not even be Chumras HaAveira, but it's more than that. It's the Svar. That's why it's particularly shocking that the Bala Eshkol, you know, thinks that Lahanas Atzmo, you know, would affect even Rotzeach. That's really, you know, very, very shocking. Anyways, certainly of the three, Rotzeach seems to be a category in its own right. The Gemara does seem to link, on the other hand, Rotzeach and Gili Arayos, which is interesting, whereas Avodah Zarah stands on its own. Again, I don't want to go through the whole sugya, it's a massive topic, we're just going to do a bit of a drive-through. The Gemara says that in Avodah Zarah, it's based on the Haftas Hashem Elokecha, Afilu No Tel Snaf Shecha, you know, Yesh Adam She Mamono Chavval of Migufo, Yesh Adam She Gufo Chavval of Mimamono, they have that whole Shakamataria. And the Gemara says that Gili Arayos is learned from Rotzeach, which is very ironic because, as I say, if you had to choose in the hierarchy, you would have thought that Rotzeach, you know, is Chumras HaAveira, then maybe Avodah Zarah, and then maybe Gili Arayos. Okay. And in terms of the Heter and Asatzma, we define this. But these are some of the issues. So looking around, there might be Nafkamina and other Nafkamina as well, but we're going to leave that for the moment. Oh. Now this idea that you could argue with this Chiluk, is something which, you know, has a lot of support in the Rishonim. Ironically, there also seems to be a perspective that goes in the opposite direction. That is that Farhesia is also not only about Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, but that somehow Farhesia is about the Chumras HaAveira. Where do we find that? Anywhere? That's shocking and surprising.
I thought you could say it in the Ritva.
Which Ritva?
This is probably not the Ritva.
That's what I'm saying, is the Pashtus is that Chumras HaAveira may apply to the Gimel HaAveiros, and that's debated. And Farhesia is about Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. That's certainly with language of the Gemara also. What I'm saying is you might find that even Farhesia, in a way, invokes the Chumras HaAveira. Anybody have that anywhere? Or wherever that's implied? Rabbi?
I don't think this Pshat and Tosin and Avodah Zarah do imply.
Yeah.
Farhesia reinvigorates the Maisa Avodah Zarah.
That's what it seems. In Tosis and Avodah Zarah. What?
Okay. I thought that it's the other way around, that the Chumras HaAveira is Chilul Hashem.
Put it, there's an emerging between those two things. Put it this way, the Farhesia is used there, both Shas HaShemad and Farhesia is used by some of the Rishonim in Avodah Zarah. The Ritva and Avodah Zarah, do you mean the Ritva and Avodah Zarah? The Ritva, Tosas, written Avodah Zarah, and Tosas themselves in Avodah Zarah. Not the one we read last time, but the next one, which I put on the Makaris, but how many people got to see it? Shout out. Except for Robbie. Okay, so we won't, a little bit. Okay, so, you know, I won't speak about it too much. We'll just, you'll look at it when you get a chance. The possibility, the Gemara there is talking about what? Just remind it, Yaakov? About Avodah Zarah, but what specifically? Nevad, right? So it's interesting, the idea that Nevad, you know, might apply to Avodah Zarah, you know, in the situation of Yehari Valyavar Filo Betzina, meaning the Mandamar, who we Paskin like, who says that Avodah Zarah is one of the Gimel Averos, is very, very reasonable, as we've discussed. Right? Because even Betzina, there's a Chumras Vavera, therefore there's a Chepta Shel Avodah Zarah. The question is, what about a case, let's say you hold like, what is it, Rabbi Shmuel, who holds that Bitsina, there's no prohibition, there's no obligation to give up your life for Avodah Zarah, right? We still say, B'chai B'hem B'lo Shem B'hem, and it's Yabar Val Yehareg, but B'farhesya, because of Chil Hashem, in that situation, you're supposed to give up your life. So it's not just Avodah Zarah. So that makes a Nevad. That's strange. Right? Because you would have thought that what's really happening is that there's v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamas b'hem, which gives you a heter pikuach nefesh, but there's something else, and that's called kiddush v'chil l'ashem. And kiddush v'chil l'ashem is mechayev you limsor es atzmecha. But when you violate kiddush v'chil l'ashem, that creates a nevad? Right. So it's a case, seemingly, where Or it's an example, I'll speak more about it when I get a chance, but it's a case or an example where somehow the fact that you don't have a heter, even though that lack of heter is based on Kiddush V'chil L'Hashem, right, somehow you have revived, right, the original Avera. We don't say, oh, mitzad, the Ma'is Avera, the Chumras Avera, you have a heter pekuch nefesh, but there's another din, it seems like Kiddush V'chil L'Hashem is something which neutralizes the heter, even regarding the aveir, or revives the aveir. And the question is, why does that work? But you should just be aware that that is on the books. How does this come up? So number one, with regard to Nevad. Number two, with regard to Avar Velo Neharag, when a case where you're supposed to be a Harig Vayavar, what's the din? As we already noted, that's 2 days in Tosis in Sanhedrin, Samech Aleph Amud Beis, right? Story with Haman again. Ha'oved me'ava umeyira, right? So according to one view in Tosas there, what we're talking about is a case where there's a chi of Yehari Galyavar, and he didn't meet the challenge, it's Avar Balonerag, and the two days whether or not he's chayiv Misa or not. And Rabbi David Bonfil in the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, and that's really late, the Yireim and the Ramach on the Rambam, all of them are of the opinion that if you do not meet the challenge of Yehari Vayavar, you're Chayiv Misa. The other view, the predominant view in Tosas, and the view of the Rambam, right, in both in Hilchos Sanhedrin, which we saw recently, Perek Chaf, and in Hilchos Perekei Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, which is the chapter of Yehari Vayavar, and the view of the Ramban in Yevamos, right, and elsewhere, and most Rishonim, is that even if there's a chiv Yehari Vayavar, even on the Gimel Averos, Bitzina, Avar V'lo Neharag is a patur of Onos. Question is, if that's the case, how does that work? So let me say it this way. Those are Rishonim who think the Pashtus, even though I just pointed out that there are, you know, some contrary indications, but the Pashtus, those are Rishonim who think that in the case of Gimel Averos, Avar V'lo Neharag is Chayiv Misa, right, seem to be working with the Ramban's idea of Chumras HaAveira. Meaning there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh on the Gimel Averos. And they have an additional assumption as well. And that is, that Unar L'Sas HaDavar, there's also no Ptur Onesh of Onus. When there's a Chiyuv right, which limsar atzmo, which neutralizes the heter pikuach nefesh. If there's no heter pikuach nefesh, there's also no ptur anus. And as such, since there is a violation of the chumras avera, albeit we all understand, you know, that the circumstances are extenuating, but those extenuatings don't allow for heter pikuach nefesh, they don't allow for ptur anus, and therefore yechayv misa. And therefore there should be a nevat, and so on and so forth. However, the question is the Rishonim who think that Avar Velo Nerag is Patur, they have two options. Right? They can either say, because there never really was on the table Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aroos, and Shfichas Damim. Those were neutralized by Pikuach Nefesh. This is the Chiyuv, Kiddush V'Chilol Hashem. But Kiddush V'Chilol Hashem is not generally Chayiv Misa. There might be some Malkus, right? Maybe not. Hard to know. But the point is that there's no, on the agenda, there's no capital punishment. That's one explanation. And that's certainly the explanation of some of the Mefarshim. So, for example, the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, when he's quoting with David Bonfil, so basically, David Bonfil was trying to say the following. People said to him, David Bonfil, listen, you can't say that Avar Velo Nerag in Gilei Aroos Shvichas Damim Avodah Zarah is Chayiv Misa, because it's not the only Yehoreg Vayavar out there. There are other Yehoreg Vayavars out there. Farhesia. So what are you going to say? The guy's Michal Shabbos Farhesia, he's Chayiv Yehoreg Vayavar, he's going to get a death penalty? Because he did the wrong thing. Right? No. Surely we don't say that, right? And since we don't say that, so we shouldn't say it by the Gimel of Eris either. What's the difference? This is Yehoreg Vayavar, that's Yehoreg Vayavar. Mm-hmm. So that's what Rav David Bonfil in the Chiddush Aran answered, and he said, no, what are you talking about? The Yehoreg Vayavar of Befarhesia is a Yehoreg Vayavar of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. But not of the Maisa Veira, or the Chumras Veira. And therefore, even though you're supposed to give up your life, but Avar V'lo Nerag is Patur. Right? But the Gimel Averos, there's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh, and there's no Pteranos, so you're Chayiv. Oh. So now the question is, but the Ramban, who's Mr. Chumar Suavera, what does he think? Oh, so the answer is simple. The Ramban doesn't think that that analysis is wrong, except for on the last assumption. Akiva, what's the last assumption? The last assumption is wrong, says the Ramban. I mean, it's true that there's a difference between the two types of Yehoreg Vayavars, and that the Gimel Averos are Chumras Avera, and the other ones are Chilul Hashem. And therefore, it's true that in the Gimel Averos, you're dealing with an Avera, which is a capital offense. Right? But, what's the but? But, the assumption that just because A, therefore B, that's wrong. What's the A and what's the B? The assumption that just because there's no heter pikuach nefesh, that therefore there's no ptur. What's the next word? That's what were that group thinking? They were saying there's no heter pikuach nefesh, and therefore there's no ptur onus. Right? Well, now the sasa davar, onus rachmana patre, onus kamanda lo avid, whichever, however you want to say it, going back to our other discussions. Right, that's all true when it's legitimate, but not when you're supposed to rise to the occasion. If there's no heter pikuach nefesh, there's no pteranos. Right, so the Ramban says that's exactly the fallacy. That's wrong. The first part is true. There's no heter pikuach nefesh. Doesn't mean there's no pteranos. You still did it under duress. It wasn't a volitional act. Maybe onshim, what's mechayiv you for mesirus nefesh, right, is the chiyuv. What's mechayiv you in an onesh is the Maisa Baratzon. So the Ramban says the Ptur of Vilnaro, the Sasa Davar, applies. Right? He just won't go so far as to say it's not a Maisa Avera in this case, because if it wasn't a Maisa Avera, there wouldn't be a Chumras Avera either. Unless, this is where Shua comes in, I think I never got the chance to quote it. Right? Right? Oh, this is our chance, okay. Namely, unless you want to say
maybe you would say that the Torah on X is only
that even if onus is Shua wants to suggest, which I like very much, that even if onus is a hafgah of the ma'isa aveira, it's not something you can ever anticipate or predict. I don't mean in whether it's going to happen. I mean legally. Meaning you can never look forward. You can never say, oh, you could do this because since it's going to be onus, it's not going to be a ma'isa aveira. When you look forward, you always see a ma'isa aveira, and then when you did it ba'onus, you didn't do the ma'isa aveira. Okay, I think that's a very interesting. I don't think it's obvious, but I like it. I think it's very plausible. Now, what about the Rambam? What about the Rambam? What's the Rambam's view? That Avar Velo Nerag is what? Is Patur. Oh. So is that because for the Rambam there could be two explanations, right? Is that because there's no Chumra Suaveira and it's all about Kiddush Bechilul Hashem, even in the Gimel Averis Bitzina? Or is it because of the Patur Onus, or both? For example, the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, Samech Aleph Amud Beis, and in Shabbos, Taf Ayin Beis, two different Chiddush Arans, by the way, two different people. It just happens to be published under the heading Chiddush Aran. But anyways. The Chiddush Aran Sanhedrin is one book. Chiddush Aran, we discussed this last year, and in Shabbos is not the Chiddush Aran. What did we say it usually is? The Ra'ah? Is that the one that's usually the Ra'ah? Yeah. Anyways, the Oved Me'ava Me'ira Sugya appears in Shabbos, Ayin Beis, in Klal Gadol, and it also appears in Sanhedrin, Samech Aleph Amud Beis. As it happens, those two, physical works, Chiddush Aran, in both cases they say, oh, there's no Onesh when you violate the Gimel Averos because it's only Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. But that's not the view of the Ramban, as we explained. The Ramban's view is, because it's a Patur Onus. Okay, what about the Rambam's view? What is the Rambam's view in general about the Gimel Averos? And this is much massive talk. I just want to speak. It's my chance to speak for another few minutes about it. But what is the Rambam's view? It's a little complicated. Tamar?
Kiddush Hashem.
Seems to be Kiddush Hashem, because the Rambam puts these dinim in Perek Hei, Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in a chapter fully dedicated to Kiddush Hashem, which starts with the words, Kol Beis Yisrael. By the way, it's a strange phrase. Not strange. It's a unique phrase. Kol Beis Yisrael. Not Bnei Yisrael. Not Klal Yisrael. Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. The last halacha in that parak is the halacha of the Gemara Masachet Yoma, which is V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Mis'ahei Val Yodecha. That if you're, a Talmud Chacham, anybody should, but especially Talmud Chacham, you have to rise the occasion, you have to be medaber benachas im abrios, you have to pay your bills on time, because everything you do is scrutinized, and the obligation is Sheyehei Shem Shemayim Mis'ahei Val Yodecha. The first halacha, the last halacha, the whole perek, the whole context of Yisodei HaTorah is Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. In Sefer HaMitzvos, Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. Contrasted with the Yireim, the Tur. Where do the Yireim and the Tur discuss Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem? Anybody know? Tamar? Where do the Yireim and the Tur discuss Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem? Tur Shulchan Aruch. Hilchos Avodah Zarah, both of them. Again, there are some methodological issues, right? It's always hard to know. But it is interesting, and it's probably not a coincidence, that at least the Yireim, holds that there's a chiyuv misa if you don't meet the challenge. Anyways, the Rambam, contextually, is all about Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. Oh. So it's easy to suggest, so let me add one other thing, because this is part of our story. Reb Chaim points out in the Chibur, I don't know if anybody got a chance to or not, that what? That Karka Olam, the factor of Karka Olam, is completely missing in the Rambam. According to Bali Tosis, Karka Olam is a more obvious Chumra Suaveira issue than it is a Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem issue. In other words, that's what Tosis says, right? Esther Fars Fahesia, is a Safek. And then there's a buy in Rava, right? But Gilead Arayos, not even bother asking, so obvious. I want to get to that in a minute anyway. Oh, well, let's discuss that actually for a minute. So Tosas says, how do we know this? Not Tosas here, but the Rush here, and Tosas in Sanhedrin, and Tosas in Psachim, and Tosas in Yuma. Where does it come from? The Karka Olam is a Ptur. Jason? From Otzeach. Why? What? How does it come from Otzeach?
He says, well, you can't actively...
Because we assume that in Rotzeach, that if he says to you, you know, I want to use you as a human, spear or weight or whatever to kill somebody, that there's no chi of your heart v'yavar. Do we know that for sure? Tosis assumes it. They say, well, the svar is by causes. Right. So hu adin arayos. So Reb Chaim was very bothered by this. What's Reb Chaim's har on this? Jason, Zah?
I don't
know. Itamar? Ah, correct. And moreover, what about the Svara? Gabe? Or at least B'Sheval Taisa. Exactly. You're a Chefza. You're not a Poel. You're not a mishtate from the Ma'isa Aveira. How can you compare those two things? Right? Reb Chaim says, this is a bad comparison. The truth is, you could also argue with it. You might say, you know, the assumption of Tosis is that since Rotzeach is a Svara, my chaz is, so the Svara says, Sheval Taisa Adif. In other words, you don't have to give up you don't have to commit suicide. He wants to use you as a human bowling ball or whatever. You just can't take initiative. But you don't have to take initiative in the other direction either. The truth is that if you look at Rotzeach that way, that Sheval Taisa Adiv, what Tosa says makes a lot of sense on that point, on the halacha. If you think that Rotzeach is a Chumras Aveir that has to be avoided no matter what, then you might even argue that you have to give your life up rather than, you know, Sheval Taisa be involved, frankly.
Happy to be a Ma'is Aveir for Sheval Taisa.
Well, I can have my Aveir for Sheval Taisa. Why not? We'll see in a moment.
You can be a Chumras Aveir without any Ma'is Aveir.
Could there be such a thing? Maybe. You're still mishtate parveir, or you're still involved, you're still indispensable to the taking of a life. Right? But Reb Chaim's argument is a little different. Reb Chaim's saying, you're not doing it, in this case, you're a chefza, you're not even a gavra, you're not a gavra but Sheval Taisa. The woman's role in Gilei Arayos is Sheval Taisa. Even then there's a debate among Rishonim, again, I'm so sorry we can't discuss all these things in detail because they're so good. Yisidim Gometzis here has several dais on this point, and of course the Rishonim in Sanhedrin. When we say Karka Olam, what do we mean? Do we mean her general role as being more passive in the Yishus? Does it matter if she initiates, let's say she entices him into this, like Yael? Is that, in the Ma'is Aveira, she's still the passive one. What do we mean? Do we mean in her Pu'ulos, or do we mean in the Hagdara of the Ma'is? That's a machlokas or Rishonim in the Hagdara of Karka Olam. This Karka, the more Karka Olam is about Kiddush and Chil Hashem and factors like that, it can go beyond the technical form of Ma'is Aveira. But if it's like Yitamar was just raising, oh, is it a Ma'is Aveira? Is it a Ma'is B'Sheval Taisa? Then maybe we should only care about the actual Hagdara. Or should we say that enticement or the Heksher, etc., the Chafetz, the Ratzon, maybe that turns the Sheval Taisa into a kind of a Kumbaseh? So there's a machlokas we've shown him here. What is the scope of Karka Olam and what does it mean? Oh. But Reb Chaim's argument is that whatever you're going to say about Gilei Arayos, maybe that's just the normal way of Isha the Maisabia, or still she's still considered a participant, right, in the Bia. But he, as the bowling ball, or the spear, he's not a participant, a passive participant, he's a Chefza. That has nothing to do with anything. Even if you were to say that as a passive participant who is indispensable and mitzuraf to the Maisa, maybe he's obligated to take the initiative, but it isn't just Sheval Taisad. It's a lot of important issues. What's fascinating is, so you think, oh, if you hold a Reb Chaim, and in Rotzeach, this person is just a Chefza, so then you're not going to say what Tosa says, right? 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 So the Shidu Kubetzas here says exactly what Reb Chaim says. Listen to this. Shakavana bo she'enu b'din she'atzal atzal b'dvo shavero. That's Rotzayach. V'chein nami, this is in mine, it's page 30, column 1 and 2. V'chein nami yeshlomar she'en svar she'im sar atzal l'mitzah k'dei she'atzal chavero. I mean, he doesn't have to be a tzaddik and take initiative to save. He just can't take initiative to attack. Kagon. Im yomer lo'avu k'chavim she'argenu im lo yaniach lo laharog es ploni. This is a good test case, right? Not kill him or be killed. He says, the God, the Akum says to him, if you don't let me kill Ploni, I'm going to kill you. Is he obligated to stop him? Right? That's a totally different case. Oh, im yomer hanach atzmecha she'ed adachek oscha alatino k'dei she'yomus b'dchifa zu o'argoscha. Now, listen to this. The my chazis, the im ha'aravi, yidchahu, the yamus, hatinok b'tchifazu, ha'ovek kachavim, hu ahorek v'lo Yisrael. That's Reb Chaim. Good for the sheet of a kubatzas. Mikan heim lemedim sha'isha she'ena osa maisa ela she'omlo she'taniach lasas maisa she'ena limsar atzma lemisa. Ooh, not so good. Meaning, he says it, he exemplifies it further, he even goes the further step of the Chafetza, but instead of saying that's a good reason why you can't compare to Gilui Arayos, he says, therefore, this is true in Ritzicha, and therefore we should export it to Gilui Arayos. Right? Etu, Shita Mekubet says. What? You seem confused or unhappy. We don't want you to be unhappy. Yeah. Well, what's the problem? Should I repeat? Or should I clarify?
I got it.
You got it. Okay. Meaning, it's one thing for the Bali Tosfos to say, you know what? Rotzeach, number one, Rotzeach, the Sheval Tasa, because of the initiative issue in the Svara, is Pater. Not so obvious, but maybe. And the example that he gives here is a great example. Do I have to intervene to stop him? Right? Or I just can't be the agent of the murder. Fine, good. But for him to then go on and say, moreover, he's a chefza, and it's the other guy, he's not even a participant, he's just a chefza, and that's why it's patur. And then to say, behu adin gili arayos, you can't say the hu adin anymore. Number one, you might have said, on both of them, number one, you might have said, when it comes to rotzeach, the issue is, kumva seva sheval taisa, it's not whether my savera. Number two, gili arayos, you might say, the Hagdara is that Isha is passive. That's what her role is in the Maisabiyah. Right. And number three, if you're already admitting that in the case of Rotzeach it's a Cheft, that what are you going to say about Isha? So when we say Karka Olam, Linyan Gilei Arayos, are we saying, you know, what we're saying in Rotzeach? Maybe what we're really saying is not that, this would be another approach, in other words, not that, oh, you know, Hanami, she's a participant, but a Sheval Taisa participant, or Chumra So Aveira doesn't depend on the Chafta Shal Aveira. It depends on the Pu'ula of the Aveira. That's one way to look at it. And how do we define that? Kumbase, Sheval Taisa. What about the enticement part? Does that turn it into a Kumbase, or it just means that they're, the issue isn't Sheval Taisa, it's participation. That's what I'm trying to suggest, that for the Shidma Kubet says, what we might be saying is that in Gili Arayos, Be'ones, the Sheval Taisa, she's a Chefta. Not to the same extent that she is in Rotzeach. That, you're never going to get that far. Right? Because then he's a spear. Mashal Madhavar Dabba, this is really an issue that kind of at the Ravid discusses in Kosev Shom in Sanhedrin. I'll just give you one quick example. We have to stop, right? In like two more minutes. So, you know, the Gemara says in Makos, in Avav Medaleth, Gemara talks about the Eshuot of Mutsas Mot Lekud. The Gemara says, Ele Me'ata, right, if it's true, Harog Yatzil, Nirva Yatzil, right? That's an interesting question. And in general, you know, is the victim, what is the status of the victim in a crime? right? The murder victim or the victim of a rape. Are they Bali Dvarim or not? So you might be Mechalek in general when somebody is passive or something is done against their will. Is it always the same? Do we have one Hagdara across the board? Or maybe it depends on whether the dynamic of that particular thing. A murder victim is never a participant. He's the passive participant in his murder. You'd never say that. Right? He's the victim. He's the chefza. Right. And a boomerang or a human spear is also probably not a passive participant in the murder. But the neveles, now a neveles beratzon, right, is not considered a shutaf in the Maisa Neira. Or the ratzon makes it a kumbase. Or maybe it's shekeinena. It's the ratzon v'nena alfa pishein maisa, just like the Masasik b'chalav v'raya shekeinena. Is that what's going on? Or even bonus, she's a passive participant. She's the victim, but she's a passive participant. Or no. When it's Onas Gamor, she's Ki'ilu Mufgas. She's just the object. She's not the passive, you know, Shutaf in a Maisa Avera. So the issues here are ranging from enticement and Ratzon, ranging from Bia B'Ratzon, right, to be a ba'ones, but where she has to do kumvase enticements. Two, the regular posture of, let's say, especially onus, the Sheval Taisa. How do we look at her role? And what the mechayev is in her role? And how do we compare that to Rotzeach regarding the issues of Yehari Vayav? And that will dictate whether or not this is about Kiddush Hashem Chil Hashem and being completely mufka, or it's about Maisa Aveira, it's about Chatzah Shel Aveira, etc. Okay. So, let me just end with this point. That is as follows. So the Rambam doesn't have Karka Olam, and that would work very well in his view that Kiddush and Chil Hashem, right, is the Mechayev. Except that when you read the Rambam's language, if somebody could just get it on the record, just not much, 2 more minutes, Avar V'lo Nerag, the Rambam says, is Pater, and he quotes Olnar L'Sasa Davar. Right? Is it clear that that's because only we have language or not? I think I'm right. Perkei Halacha, was it Dalid? Go ahead. Is it Dalid?
Yeah.
It's a long, long Halacha. Let's skip to the main part. Go ahead. He doesn't say, right? He says Chil Hashem. He doesn't say, oh, how are you over the Barazara or Shofek Damim or go ahead. Im Haya. Oh, Shein Malkin Mamisin. This is a very long Rambam, a very long-winded Rambam. Okay. Now again, we know he says something similar in Perek Chaf Hilchos Sanhedrin. What's fascinating, this line, right? Areza chilas Hashem barabim. He doesn't say Obad Abarazara, Gila, Arayos, etc. Then he says Ubitul Mitzasei, Kiddush Hashem. And then he says Ava Pichei Mipnei She'avar Bonus Ein Malkin Vein Tzarech Lomar She'ein Mamisino Sobezdin. How do you understand Vein Tzarech Lomar? Is he saying there's no Kiddush Hashem? And of course there's no Avarazara, because he didn't do Avarazara. All he did was Kiddush Hashem. And there's not even Chila Kiddush Hashem Malkus or whatever, because that was bonus. Or is Rambam saying here, There are two things on the agenda, Kiddush Hashem and the Chiyuv Misa. And you're potter for both. Hard to know. But what is fascinating is the Rambam I told you to look at in Halacha Vav. However, what does the Rambam say in Halacha Vav? Ki'inyan sha'amru ba'onsin, kachomru b'chaloim. This is the Rambam's transition to the Sugya and Psachim. B'kol Mitzrap and Chutz Miatzei Ashera, Ketzad. Misha chalavana talamuz, v'amar rofim sha'rafa'aso, bidvar ploni meisurin shabatora ein osula. Mistrapin, because you soon should be told Mokum Sakana, Chut me over to Sakarman, Gila Rise of Shrikos Damim, Shafi the Mokum Sakarna, Ain Mistrapin. Vim over Vinistrapa, Onshin, Bezin, Onisha Roilo. Ah. What's Onshin also Bezin, Onisha Roilo, the Pashtos? By the way, that was good reading, Amram. what is the Onisha Roilo, Amram? Pashtos. Misa. That's all the first one to say in the Rambam. So here, the Rambam says, you are Chayiv Misa. What happened to Onar L'Sasa Davar? So all the, a lot of Achronim point out, the Rav used to say this as well. Apparently what the Rambam's trying to tell you here is a Chiddush too, and a lot of Rishonim don't agree with it. There are two sugyas. One is Sanhedrin, the other is Psachim. Right? Sanhedrin is Anos, and Psachim is Koli. So a lot of Rishonim, including the Ramban, I mentioned the Ramban the other day when he talked about the Gens Tanas Atzmo, right, will tell you, Choli is also Anus. Even though it's internal, it's the Malach HaMavis, whatever you want to call it, you know. The Rambam thinks that's wrong. The Rambam thinks that what the two sugyas have in common are Pikuach Nefesh. But what they don't have in common is Onus. Chola, even though you're under a lot of psychological pressure, right? You have no hatred pikuach nefesh, but there's no pteranus either. No one's twisting your arm. Even psychologically, it's a fascinating argument.
Why does ones require an external party?
I don't think it has to. I think according to most Rishonim, it doesn't. But according to the Rambam, it seems this is just between you and your and their, this is your medical condition. It's a fact of life. Maybe the Rambam was a doctor. I don't know. I mean, we. Not maybe he was a doctor. He was a doctor, but maybe, that was his perspective as a doctor. It's fascinating. We sort of disagree with it. So there's no Ptural in Nara L'Sasa Davar. Okay. But the question is, but what happened? So is there Misa here? So what's fascinating to me, this thing, but the whole thing is Kiddush V'Chil Hashem, right? So, maybe, I think I have two ways to explain this. One is that there are two dinim. And I have a little bit of a diuk. The next halach in the Rambam says, Uminayin shafilu b'makom sakonos nefasha sein over malachas migim levei ruseilu. And he quotes the psukim. Now the psukim and the makoros of Yehori Gval Yavar appear in two sugyas, or three, but the two main ones, Sanhedrin and Psachim. How come the Rambam, who already mentioned the dinim of Yehori Gval Yavar, why didn't he mention this earlier? Why did he wait till here? So one suggestion I have for the Rambam is that the Rambam thinks that there are two separate dinim. Till now, the Rambam's been working with Perikei, Ochas Sodiyat Torah, Kiddush V'Chil Lashem. And he's telling you that the reason you have to give up your life in Gimel Averus is the same reason that you have to give up your life the Farhesya and B'Shas Hashmad in all mitzvos. Why? Kiddush V'Chil Lashem. But now that the Rambam has to explain that when there's no anus that you really get the death penalty, this is the first time that he has to also address the problem of chumras sa'aveira. So here he has to quote the psukim, because the psukim they're not really telling you so much that bitsina, right, there's also kiddush v'chil Hashem, they're telling you that there's chumras sa'aveira. That's one pshat. The other possibility goes back to what I mentioned about the Tosas Rid and Tosas in possibly the Sarmikutzi in Tosas and Avodah Zarah and others. That is maybe what the Rambam is telling us here is that even though the agenda or the Mechayiv, even in Makom Misrapin, is only Kiddush V'Chil Hashem, nonetheless, that triggers the Chomer Suaveh. And the idea is, this is something I'd like to develop, maybe I will in the context of Hanukkah, but the idea is when we say that there are certain averos, let's say, that are worth dying for and others that are not. Right. So, from a Ramban point of view, what we might mean by that is, you know, there are some averos that are more problematic, more intrinsically offensive, or spiritually valuable than others. There's a hierarchy. Or what we might say is, you know, every mitzvah and every avera is inherently worth dying for. Only thing is, the sanctity of life overrides that. It's not that the averos aren't worth it, it's just that internally what the averos or the mitzvahs require of us, you know, impel us, you know, it's almost like a Chalel Shabbos Achas Kadesh Tishmar Shabbos Harbe, you know, type of mentality. L'may Nafkamina, it all sounds very theoretical. Nothing wrong with being theoretical, even if it wasn't a Nafkamina. It's an important idea and an important issue. But maybe the issue is, when people on the outside think that we're being makel because the mitzvah isn't worth it enough, not because the sanctity of life is an internal factor that overrides it, maybe then that triggers the Chumras HaAveira itself. So again, in the context of Hanukkah, I hope to develop this a little more, but that would explain perhaps what's going on in some of these Rishonim. Okay, we'll stop here. There are two other points in the sugya that are worth talking about. One is the Hagdara on Shas HaShmad, and especially the impact of Shas HaShmad on the framers, on the legislators. You know, that's the discussion of the Tshuvas HaRivash and Chidmu Kubetzos and Agos HaShri. Why, in this case, V'liakre, why isn't it Shas HaShmad? And secondly, what, you know, Takana Mipnei Akiras Takana, you know, is that, would you really, like, you know, threaten or risk, you know, bias, you know, goy for the sake of preserving takanas achachamim, an amazing idea, machlokas arishonim, possibly Rashi and Tulsa, as Shidduch Betz understands it. That's the second thing. And the third thing is the dinim of Shas HaShmad, how they relate to Farhesia. But again, maybe I'll, in the context of Hanukkah, maybe I'll talk about that. Okay. I wish you all hatzlacha on the Tina. Sorry we took a little longer, but...
will you be around during Kazar week?